Pollitt. It's the Starship Rocon Show with Anna DeMontis,
yes,
live on the CLTV and the WGN everywhere.
Significant development, I'm told, in the building we work in.
In what?
The building with which we work.
In which we work.
Yeah. There you go.
303 East Wacker.
Yes. Apparently, they were selling something new at the convenience store in the basement now, due to our team efforts.
Yes. Mr. Patel, who runs with what is undoubtedly, without question, the greatest magazine, candy, bodega, whatever you want to call it, shop in a building in America.
True.
Perhaps the world.
It is special.
Most likely. He is the best with names. I've never seen someone better. Everyone he meets and talks to, he knows their
right.
name.
And he knows exactly what their preferences are. So I walk in there today. I got a little care package of the things that I should not be eating
chocolate?
Or drinking. And I go, like, heavily caffeinated. I'm like, I got a Four Loko and a... and a Twix. And I he says to me, Mr. Rowe, as he calls me, Mr. Rowe, I get CBD oil for Mr. Kevin.
No way.
Yes.
Come on.
And he pointed to the CBD oil display.
Can you believe it?
That is amazing.
Because remember when Kevin went on that long, long trip to try to get CBD oil in the downtown area and couldn't find it?
Mm-hmm.
He was listening.
Right.
Well, that's customer service right there.
That doesn't get better than that, does it?
I know. I walked in today and he just had this little smirk on his face. Like, go, how you doing? We talk a little Bears per usual. He's a diehard Chicago Bears fan.
Mm-hmm.
And then
he's got great Bears swag.
He's got Bears swag.
Yeah.
And he points to the rack. He says, "Not you don't have to go far. I got the CBD."
Wow.
I was like,
that's results.
Man.
Did you buy it?
I did not yet. I figured I would buy it as a show.
No, I didn't get it yet.
Down.
I'm going to send you back down with the telephone to get the CBD oil.
Okay.
I asked him, it's $19.99. I'll give you a 20. Let's see what he does on the tax situation.
So it's like, how is it presented?
I think he's got the drops and some gummies. It looks,
Oh.
I believe it does. I don't
want
to get ahead of myself, but it appears what I saw, that's what he's got.
If he doesn't have it already, I bet you he'll get him now.
He'll get it, whatever we need.
How do you think Four Loko and CBD oil goes?
Oh, just fine. Oh, what could go wrong?
I'm having quite a run right now, my friends. Woohoo! All right.
That is customer service. Thank you, Mr. Patel.
Yes,
that's
he's
amazing.
The best.
He's just amazing all around. He has the candies you can't find anywhere, like the old candy stores and the places that used to have like lots of candy. He's got them, all the things you need.
Every flavor of Doritos imaginable.
Yes. I had no idea.
I know, like this exists.
That they do, like Doritos now has a tahine.
Yeah.
Flavored stuff. He's got everything that's or tahine or whatever, however you pronounce that.
Yeah.
All of that stuff. Oh my God. It's like, it's crazy.
Yeah, pretty much the only problem you run into there is indecision, like not knowing what to pick.
Yeah, I find myself kind of wandering in the store, which isn't a very large store, but it's packed. He maximizes the space, and I don't know what to get. But he's got all the goods.
You need ramen.
He's got ramen.
The man has the best ramen selection.
I've got ramen from him before.
And he's got gumballs, which I adore. Yeah.
So there you go.
Got Spree. Do you guys remember Spree?
Yes, Spree.
He's got Spree, both the chewables and the hard candy.
So now he has. So now Mr. Patel, in his store, now has the CBD oil. And we are going to, before we go back to the radio, which we'll be back on.
Top of the ninth, two outs, Sox up 4-0.
All right, so they got to get through the bottom.
He needs a sign above it as heard about on the Rocon Show.
Yes. Exactly. Right next to the lottery numbers. That's how it goes. All right. So all of that. So we'll send you down.
Okay.
And we'll get you the CBD.
Should I go down now?
The gummies. Why don't you get down now while Ben Bradley's going to join us on the CLTV.
Go down there.
He's got a big investigation.
Yeah.
I know he says I never read his emails, but I do read his emails. And this is a very juicy story he's got. He's uncovered something pretty big out there in Cicero.
Shocker. And the people, and I like the names of the people involved, because they're all, if you are an observer of Chicago politics and chicanery, these are names that you will recognize.
Very familiar names. Yes. Usual suspects, you might say.
Yes.
You might even say that.
Right. You might. So all that's coming your way. But first, let's check in with Kim and find out what's coming up in the news at the bottom of the hour on the WGN radio side.
Illinois becomes the first state in the Midwest to protect immigrant tenants.
How long did you spend in the Cicero jail? Almost a day and a half.
You're honestly telling me 7 cops arresting a process server, trying to serve the town president. No coincidence there?
None, my friend.
Zero.
I don't know who's asking. Ben Bradley is on the CLTV and on the WGN-TV. He started CLTV, as a matter of fact. They're, you know, very, very humble roots. And they're really pushed in heavy to your face right now.
Yeah, please don't take the shot. You don't want to see me up that close.
Thank you.
It's the nose cam.
Yeah.
See what you miss when you don't watch CLTV? When you don't watch the live stream of this show, you miss the nose cam.
Yeah. You get some interesting things going on there. All right, let's talk about the story that you're working on.
Yeah, so tonight at 9 o'clock, we have this kind of interesting yarn out of Cicero, which in and of itself is a fascinating place. I can remember as a Cub reporter back at CLTV 20 plus years ago, covering Betty Lauren Maltese.
Oh, yeah.
In Cicero, the former leading lady of Cicero, who followed her late husband's footsteps into Cicero Town Hall. She, of course, went to prison in an insurance scam. Well, a guy named Larry Dominick has been the Cicero town president since 2005, so about 14
years now. And he was the enemy of the Maltese
when Betty went down, you had kind of a power vacuum. But what's always been interesting about Cicero is it is a super majority Hispanic town, but yet they've always had a white town president. It's really interesting. And it's also part of Mike Madigan's district. And so you've got this lawsuit that I know you've reported on that accuses Mike Madigan of running a sham Hispanic candidate against him in the last election to try to dilute the vote by an actual challenger to Mike Madigan named Jason Gonzalez. So this lawsuit is making its way through the court system, and they want to subpoena to testify Larry Dominick because he's part of Madigan's political army.
The town president of Cicero.
Correct. So
who's been for 20 years or whatever.
14 years, yes. So you have this poor process server who is like, a low-level cog in the legal system. His whole job is to find out where somebody lives or works and hand him the papers and say, you're served.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, that's the job.
You've had that happen to you a couple times, right?
Yeah, I can't comment on that, but yeah.
So this poor process server goes to Cicero Town Hall, and the secretary says, no, Larry Dominick's not here. Well, where can I find Larry Dominick? Oh, he lives over at the corner of such and such and such and such. So this guy goes over there, and sure enough, it's an address in his database tied to Larry Dominick, and knocks, no one opens the door, but there's a package. And so the process server picks up the package to see if Larry Dominick's name is on it. Says he puts the package down and continues his search for Larry Dominick. Visits a couple more homes over the next day or two. And then lo and behold, Cicero cops, like a day or two later, pull him over, get on the phone, run him. More cops show up and they toss him in jail. For a day and a half.
In the lockup at Cicero?
At Cicero.
They don't send him over to Cook County.
No. He's in the Cicero jail.
How you doing?
They charge him with package theft.
Package theft?
And impersonating a police officer because he had a badge around his neck that says Cook County Process Server.
Which is a legal badge to have, right?
Right. Just like a private detective has some sort of badge,
this
right?
Explains what they are.
Yeah. So so as we start looking into this story, it just becomes more and more fascinating. We, through the Freedom of Information Act, got a hold of all the evidence that Cicero police used to track this guy down and arrest him. And lo and behold, they don't have on videotape him stealing any package. He says he didn't steal the package. And then we caught up with Larry Dominick, and that was a very interesting interview because he's right out of central casting, right?
I'm so shocked to hear that.
He wears the Hawaiian shirt to every town board meeting. He's always got just a phalanx of police officers around him, protecting him from what I don't know.
But that's part of the story that I thought was interesting, is that he's got this protective force. It almost seems sort of intimidating, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I might use another word, but intimidating for sure. And apparently he's told, your server was told, you can't serve the town president.
Can't do it. He's president. He's got presidential powers.
He's
can't do that.
Presidential right. powers.
He's got that. He's got presidential immunity. He's got executive immunity. You see what's going on in Washington?
What the hell are you doing?
What kind of troublemaker looking at you? Get the hell out of my town.
And you have the police force? For making that false.
Oh, my God. You know who's... I got to say, they may have tickled the wrong...
I can't wait to see where you're going.
Yeah, I can't say the words I want to say.
Yes.
But they may have done something here in this stupid... You know, it's always one thing. It was the burglary at Watergate, right?
Yep.
Right. It seems to me, Ben, I'm just spitballing here. But it seems to me that this may be the beginning of kind of a bigger deal for them.
Well, it certainly has cost the Cicero town another lawsuit, because this process server, who, by the way, was serving the subpoena for another colorful character, Tony Perica. You may remember him from the Cook County Board.
Sure.
Yes, he ran for Cook County Board President.
Yes.
And when he didn't win, he left his downtown hotel demanding to march on the county building, which, of course, is also City Hall.
Uh-huh.
And he pulled out of the hotel and he ran down the street the wrong way.
Michigan
and all the reporters followed him and said, Mr. Perica.
wait, no, it's over here. You got to go. It's back here.
And some of his supporters had been, this was like 10:30 at night, and some of his supporters had been fueled by Crown Royal, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a fine sponsor.
Yeah.
So you have all of these interesting characters playing out. So this process server is now suing the town of Cicero because the cops actually, while he was in custody, went and raided his house.
Oh, God.
What?
He doesn't live in Cicero. He doesn't live over the package theft? Yes.
Cicero, by the way.
Whoa. Cicero cops raided his house. Did you say in Chicago?
Yes, sir.
What?
Did they get Chicago assist on that?
I don't know the answer.
Oh, my gosh. There are so many things that's going to get them in trouble.
Guys are going to jail like nobody's business in this deal.
Yeah, they stepped too far. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. P.S., by the way, a judge found him not guilty of stealing the package.
And then they sent you some pictures that supposedly proved it. Did the town of Cicero or the police department send you some pictures?
Well, we got them through the Freedom of Information Act, And and then this process server, even though the case against him is over, he says he continues to receive threatening letters, of them at his house.
That's standard.
Which, you know... are awful, right? Like, it's, you know, you messed with the wrong people.
Yeah, okay.
You know, what do you think? You know, and then, of course, there are a lot of spelling errors in the letters. Just as...
This story is
100% what you would expect it to be.
You should read the Cicero Town Charter. If you want to see misspellings.
Yeah. Or the minutes from the town hall meeting.
Right, the minutes from the meetings.
What'd you say, Larry?
Hey, oi, hug, shut up! He's talking!
I didn't hear what Larry said.
Well, we went to one of those town board meetings, which was where we confronted the town president.
Yeah.
And we were trying to get a picture of another town official because he plays a peripheral role in this story. And he just bolted out of there. He jackrabbited when he figured out that we were looking for him. So you know, in TV sometimes stories can be a little, you know, the tease is a little better than the actual story. I don't want to ruin it.
But in this case, this is better. So this case is gold.
This story is everything you would hope and then some. So grab your popcorn. We'll have it on WGN News at 9.
Goodfellas is basically what this is.
Yeah.
Well, and it sounds like there are several issues and matters to follow up as well. This is not going away after one story. It sounds like one of those.
Yep.
All right. Now, I don't know if you want to stick around for this part.
Uh-oh.
What?
Is this the part that usually costs me my job?
All day long, I'm just fielding memos. Fielding memos, and also, I need to hire that process server to stand between me and the memo maker around here. But we got our own Kevin Powell is down in our little store in the bottom of our building, you know, that's like a magazine store and you know, all the things.
It's where you buy your Virginia Slims before every show.
Exactly. There are no magazines anymore, but he still has them and every candy known to man.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, our own Kevin Powell, we sent him about 2 months ago out looking for CBD oil downtown. We couldn't find it because we all had, you know, back problems. And now our guy, Mr. Patel, who runs the store, and Yes, Ben, that's his name, who runs the store, has purchased CBD oil for us, and particularly for Mr. Kevin, as he's known. Kevin, are you there?
I am here, guys. A wide variety of CBD offerings from Mr. Patel. We've got a CBD pain stick. We've got a cream. We've got a spray. We've got CBD gummies and a CBD recovery shot, which is a little, you know, like those five-hour energy size things. It's like that, but you just take it down, and then, you know, good things happen. CBD wellness situation.
And, Kevin, can I ask, I assume some of those are scented, and I assume that scent will attract every drug dog you pass at O'Hare or Midway, right?
Are they scented? Mr. Patel says he doesn't know. I guess we're going to have to try it out. Uh-oh. I'm guessing they have some sort of scent to them. This is the Reliva brand, CBD Wellness.
Mm. Oh, it's a brand new offering, though. He just stocked it because Kevin was looking for it, and he heard us talking about it. So we got to check it out.
Do you want to give the address of Mr. Patel's store so everybody can get their CBD needs filled?
I'm telling you, we could not find any CBD in this neighborhood, in whatever they call this. East.
New East, over East.
Yeah,
east over there.
Yeah, whatever it is. Yeah. East, New East Side.
I even searched the zip code, and you saw a couple of places that had smoothies that had a little bit of additive, but nothing really.
That's funny, because out in the suburbs, everybody is advertising it. You can buy your CBD oil at the doctor's office or at the local gas station.
Right. Well, this is our guy right here, Mr. Patel. We're going to make him millions on this thing downstairs.
Well, there's a lot of traffic coming through here because this connects to the Pedway. So we're 303 Wacker in the basement here. But if you're coming off Michigan, you can take the convenient Pedway, come east through the Pedway, and meet Mr. Patel and get some CBD.
All right.
Good to go.
I'm thinking of the Seinfeld episode where Jerry goes in and tells the restaurant owner, no, his whole thing is wrong. He needs to change the theme. And then, of course, the guy goes bankrupt. This is what's going to happen to poor Mr. Patel. He has taken like half his inventory budget and put it into CBD oil at Kevin and Rose's request.
Kevin, I think we go with the gummies today. Everybody in for the gummies?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Gummies. Gummies. Okay. All right. We're going with gummies.
All right. Anyone want Pringles or snacks? I just counted
sure.
16
yeah, we might
different
need
flavors of Pringles.
Yeah, so. You might want to get them all. Get all
yeah,
16 flavors
Doritos.
Of Pringles.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Right, I'll get the gummies, guys.
Right.
I'll see you soon.
All right, bye. All right, there he goes. Kevin Powell. Stoner. All right. Thank you so much, Ben. I cannot wait to see this tonight at 9 o'clock.
Tonight at 9.
I hope we will be watching.
This is something to DVR, my friends.
Yes, live tweet along with me.
This is going to be, you know, when every 10 years, Cicero does something goofy.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Maybe a little less than that.
And you get a good, like, 2 months of news out of it. All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye, Ben.
All right. There goes Ben Bradley. Let's check in now with Kim Gordon of the WGN News. Bro Con Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on CLTV and WGN everywhere. Stepping into the studio, a man who needs no introduction. He is the alderman of the 42nd Ward of the City of Chicago, that's the 42nd Ward is the only ward that appears in like every movie, right? There's like in North by Northwest, there's a reference. They call it the 42nd Precinct, but yet that's what it is. So, all right. So now
Alderman Riley.
Alderman, yes, Alderman Riley. Or O'Reilly is numbnuts call him that. Yeah. All right. Okay, a number of different things. First of all, we are taking CBD oil in front of you, perfectly legal and purchased here in the city of Chicago, just letting you know, and heavily taxed.
In your wards.
Yeah.
As long as you're paying your taxes.
Right. Exactly. Thank you. All right, now. Of the many things that we'd like to talk to you about, because today is Wednesdays with Brendan. We generally do this on Tuesdays, but it somehow didn't work out. Can we start with the big speech that's going to happen next week? Now you're the president pro tem of the city council.
That's right.
Yep. So you're kind of that's a big responsibility as we kind of head into what's going to be, I would imagine, a pretty contentious period here, because there are going to be lifts that are going to be asked for here.
Yeah, heavy lifts. The mayor has been spending the last 2 months telling people that she's inherited quite a mess, about $1 billion in liabilities that she's going to need to deal with in the next 4 years. She's working with her budget team to put together a 4 and 5 year plan to help us meet that challenge, but I don't know exactly what blend of fixes she's going to propose
so
next week.
Billion more in the hole than we thought, right?
Correct.
Is that's the dollar amount?
Yep. And
okay, let me ask you this, though, because you've been in the city council for a while now, and there's a bunch of guys who've been in the city, men and women have been in the city council for a while. Did you guys know it?
No.
How did you not know?
How is that possible?
Well, and that's, you know, what happens before every budget is we're given a financial analysis of how the city's finances stand. And then we use that basically as our guide to navigate the upcoming budget negotiations. Mayor Emanuel and his team were not up front with the city council about a lot of the big hanging liabilities out there. We were operating under the assumption that we were looking at about a $96 to $97 million structural deficit in our operating budget. I think that $1 billion figure includes things like the massive pension ramp up that has to occur. We're actually having to meet actuarial
figures. Because of a bubble? Because of the number of people that are starting to kick into their pension?
Well, it's actually a result of the state law that was passed a couple years ago that requires the city of Chicago to accelerate funding for the pension liabilities. And so we have been underfunding the city pension system for a very long time because the number we were supposed to put into that system was never tied to actuarial tables. Now it is, and it's a big punch in the face for taxpayers. We've got to climb a huge ramp in just a few years to be able to meet that state law's requirement. That means big tax increases for people in Chicago. Mayor Lightfoot's made it very clear she does not want to go back to that property tax. Mayor Emanuel pretty much maxed that out during his term. I voted against that tax increase.
And it was pretty dramatic this year for Chicago homeowners.
A lot of people talking about it. A lot of people feeling the pension, as you pointed out on this show, it isn't just wealthy people who ended up paying the extra excess big hikes.
I've got a lot of folks in the ward I represent who are property rich and cash poor. Folks who bought their places 30, 40 years ago when they were working, and now they're retirees. So going after the million-dollar home sales may sound sexy and easily done and absorbed by rich people, but that's not necessarily the case. I think that the mayor is going to be depending pretty heavily on Springfield for some help during veto session. And from what I've been reading in the papers, I'm sure you guys have too, it's receiving a mixed reaction there. She needs help rejiggering the casino bill to see if we can get a better revenue share with the state of Illinois to make that a competitive license. But she also would need help getting state approval to allow the city of Chicago, if it chooses, to broadly tax professional services like accounting, legal representation, and the like. But
what else is that, though?
Yeah, what else is that? That's a good question.
Yesterday, we were talking about this. I got off the air. And dozens of people either emailed me or texted me about this. Like, well, when they say professional services, what do they mean? Because all we hear are lawyers and accountants. But that could mean advertising. That could mean what does it mean?
Well, that's the thing. And we're going to find out when she makes her budget address. But the mayor has not been specific on how much service this tax will cover. She's talked a lot about the professional services in the paper.
Like a sales
tax. But this could go to things. I mean, if she really wanted to make this super, super broad, this could touch, you know, nail technicians and that kind of stuff.
But I think what she's said at interviews so far is that she doesn't want this to touch people who are barely getting by or barely able to make it through. I mean, she feels that the taxes are already onerous on those people. So I would think if it goes down the food chain to those kinds of services we all use, it might fall into that category. I just don't know how you can fulfill it without hitting more a broad spectrum of
doctors
services.
And dentists. And I mean, you know, you talk about, and that, who does that really affect? That affects the people who are paying the bills anyway, because they pass the tax along. They try to.
That's right.
Pass the tax along to, you know, they price in.
That's right.
And that's where it is.
It is a pass through. And you're right on. I mean, the mayor has made it clear she is not seeking more regressive taxes that disproportionately hurt poor people. So we'll see what blend she comes up with. But that's going to be a big part of the conversation. The city council is not excited about the idea of having to vote for more tax increases. And so I think the mayor's going to put forth a balanced approach that she can get political support on the council to pass. So it's going to be a difficult budget for her to balance in her first year. It's going to require a lot of dialogue with aldermen. I'm actually currently putting together a memo for the mayor and her budget team. I've been researching some of my own ideas to try and help out, and I'll be delivering that to her next week. And a number of my colleagues are stepping up to the plate and trying to provide her with some options. A lot of the stuff that I'm going to be serving up to the mayor are not just some potential revenue increases, but better managing our bureaucracy. We've got a bloated middle bureaucracy. Mayor Emanuel refused to touch that for his 8 years. He received a similar memo from me about 9 years ago and didn't do anything with it. But there is still some low-hanging fruit in this budget. You certainly can't cut $1 billion out of this budget. It's impossible. But there are, I think, some easy fixes. Also, the way we go about collecting our debt, it's a disaster. The city's records don't line up. And we're looking at, you know, ghost ticket revenue of $90 million uncollected. We could go and get next year. So I think there are some management things that the mayor can implement to help. But certainly she's going to need to find some more revenue, too.
The real estate transfer tax was the one for high-end real estate. Would you be opposed to that kind of thing when you transfer a property of over $1 million, or you pay when you buy or sell it, I suppose?
I'd need to look at that a lot more carefully. Again, as I mentioned earlier, I have constituents who might, you know, barely qualify for that transfer tax, who aren't necessarily rolling in money. For most of my constituents, this is their biggest investment by a lot. And the idea of having that heavily taxed because of the assumption that these folks are wealthy, I think is wrong. A lot of folks out there on the city council, the Progressive Caucus, they have various plans for the real estate transfer tax. The Democratic Socialists on the council, they've got other plans for that tax. Everyone wants to do the same thing, raise this tax on million-dollar properties. I'd like to know how much revenue that's actually going to generate. And
is it any property? If it's $999,000, there's no tax, but if it's $1,001,000, is tax on the dollar or the entire
that
shooting match?
That remains to be seen. The way I've been reading this,
because that is incredibly dangerous. You talk to any real estate person, yeah, they will tell you how dangerous these kinds of schedules are, because it's going to change how it's. You could see a huge depression in downtown real estate, mm-hmm, and that would be a disaster, because people already are trying to get out. That's, you know, right. I grew up in the 42nd Ward, mm-hmm, and I live adjacent to it right now. It's there are people trying to get out to try to get ahead of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's why I have concerns about a transfer tax generally. And again, I'm not sure it generates as much money as folks think it does. So I'll need to see the specifics on that. But I'll be looking very carefully at this budget for savings. I think that Mayor Lightfoot, and I think she plans to, but I think it's necessary, she has to lay out plans to trim costs and make these departments run more efficiently before she can ask for more money. Those two things have to happen in tandem. Everything that the mayor's talked to me about, you know, not on the public record, indicates that she's planning on doing both of those things.
I hope that she'll find a way to run this town like as efficiently and as well as he runs Cicero. That's my greatest
hope. Oh, please don't use that as the model. Yeah.
Hey, they make us look good.
Yeah.
Ben Bradley's report tonight.
I don't know. You know, that is unfortunately true. That's the problem with
that,
Alderman.
Them.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Go, hey, well, look.
It's not that bad.
Right, let's take a look at that.
At least we've got Cicero.
Yeah. I got to avoid driving through Cicero from this point forward.
I would.
Yeah, I'm going to spend it.
I think Ben should too, unless he's got his TV camera.
Right, two nights in the lockup over by there.
Oh, jeez.
Trying to steal a package.
All right. Alderman, can you just stick around for one second? Because I want to ask you about the other story here. Obviously, we just had the Air and Water Show. Mm-hmm. And what a difference a year made in terms of how much beach there was available and how much concrete area there was along the lakefront, especially in the, you know, between Fullerton and Ohio Street beaches. Yeah. How much there was for people to recreate on because of the lake levels. And a new study's come out. The Park District is looking at that. We'll talk about it, and we'll see if I should be as hysterical as I am about it right after we find out from Kim what's coming up in the news at the top of the hour.
President Trump seeing red over Greenland.
Brocon Show with Anna DePlantis on WGN Everywhere and CLTV. We'll be joined by the radio station here coming up in just a few minutes as the White Sox game is over. Isn't that right, Kevin?
That is correct. White Sox win 4-0. Lucas Giolito just outstanding today. Complete game shutout.
All right. Let us, now we're going back here. We got the, alderman, Alderman Brendan Riley from Chicago, downtown. And, still represent, but before the remap, represent a lot of the lakefront here in the city. And you, you've never seen it like this, have you? I mean, this is a, it's crazy how high the lake levels are. And for the Air and Water Show, they literally took away lakefront that would probably seat 100,000 people.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we've lost a lot of real estate to the rising water levels. I think I read in the paper this is as high as it's been since like 1980. One year in 1980.
15 inches higher than last August. Yeah. I mean, think about that.
No, it's crazy. We have public beaches that have been closed for most of the summer. People who swim competitively in the lake can't do that as often either. It's harder to get into the lake and get out of the lake.
Right.
Yeah, it's a real serious issue, and I know that the park districts will be working with the Army Corps of Engineers to study this and find some solutions to help us stave this thing off, and I'm sure.
But is there a cycle here? What are you learning from the people who are talking to you about this?
I actually haven't spoken to the experts. I'm still getting caught up on it. As you mentioned, I used to represent a lot more of the lakefront, but I still do represent from Chicago Avenue all the way down to the southern end of Grant Park. And so the harbor system certainly is one that I'm dealing with.
They're getting banged up, too. We talk about this because we look at it every day, but there's a breakwater out on Lake Michigan that is in between Navy Pier and the locks, you know, where the locks are, the lock system is.
Yeah.
And it's completely submerged. And you can't see it.
That's right.
If you're on the water, you can't see it. It's a gigantic, it's got to be a quarter mile long piece of concrete that's right below the waterline.
And it actually has a name. It's called Dime Pier.
Oh.
And it was actually supposed to be rebuilt a few years ago. It's been crumbling for decades. But yeah, you're right. It's a very dangerous condition because boaters who aren't paying attention, especially in the evening,
right.
They're running into this stuff. And so obviously in the short term, they need to make that safe by putting up buoys and markers. But yeah, these rising lake levels are insane. And we're going to have to probably deal with the Army Corps of Engineers and a big price tag to manage it.
What would they do, though? Would they fill with rocks? I mean, I guess we don't know yet what the solution is. Because I've seen up in Michigan, I go up to New Buffalo, and there are a bunch of homes right around the Indiana Dunes area where the beaches are just gone, and people are shoring up literally their homes with these giant boulders where they used to have beach just to make sure their home doesn't fall into the water. It's gotten so serious there. And I've seen here we've lost two beaches on the far north side up near Rogers Park because of beach erosion. They just aren't even there anymore.
They're gone.
They've disappeared.
Yeah.
It's a real problem.
You know, I think we'll probably be given a menu of options, and each will come with different price tags. And I think there will be some federal money involved to help us with those costs. But I honestly don't know what they're going to recommend. We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah.
Well, and this sort of is a federal issue, right?
Mm-hmm. Well,
because
for sure.
This is a federal waterway.
It's not just impacting the state of Illinois.
No.
It's impacting all of us on the lake. Yeah.
It's actually an international issue because this is the Great Lakes are governed by a treaty between the United States and Canada.
That's right.
And as a matter of fact, it is in part governed by what the new USMCA is going to be. There's a piece in there as well. So in terms of traffic on the lakes and in terms of environmental issues and things like that, you know, that's one thing. What you're dealing with, though, now are structural issues as they're impacting the shorelines.
That's
and that's really where we have to figure out, is this a cycle? Because, you know, I remember 1980, and when we came off of the 1980, the high water levels, those like tree trunky things that are in the water, that are like up and down, like at Fullerton and north of there, they have those big pylons that are in the water.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they were completely underwater. And my dad would point out to me, like, you know, this is, we've never seen this before. Right. He grew up in the city. He didn't know. And then it went away. And then the water level is super low. So the question is this just an earth cycle, or is this something that we're doing wrong, or is this
related to global warming or
right.
or all that? Yeah. Well, we'll find out.
Yeah. All right. Or either that, or Michigan's got a big fan and they're just blowing all the water over here.
Let's blame them.
I would like
Let's
to do
blame
that.
Detroit.
Right. I'm going to, you know, they go to the upper peninsula. You go to the upper peninsula and it's like a desert up there. And you go down here and you're like, I don't know where the water goes.
They're creating more land in Michigan while we submerge.
I suppose that's it. All right. Alderman, thank you very much. Appreciate
it.
Good to see you, Alderman.
Thank you.
All right. Alderman Brendan Riley, we got news coming your way in just a few minutes. People, is the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis on 720 WGN, WGN everywhere, and no longer on CLTV. We were just talking to Alderman Brendan Riley of the 42nd Ward about important city municipal things. If you're listening on the World Wide Web, you know what we were doing. If you're listening on the radio, it's none of your business. Just put it that way. Because I'm going to just tell you, it was, you know, things happened. And I can't be fully responsible for what was said. I'm sure some of this will be available for podcasts at WGNradio.com.
Right.
All right, coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, Mark McKinnon makes his triumphant return to the program. You know,
the circus is back.
From the circus. Well, the circus isn't back for a month, but so much crazy crap has happened in Washington, he had to call us. He's like, I can't even believe what's going on
here. He's got a ton of material, that's for sure.
Oh, my God.
New content every day.
And there's trouble with Spider-Man. There is, also there's trouble with our friends, Becca and Brad. There was trouble in the playpen.
Between
boaters. We'll get to all of that.
Oh,
it's crazy
That's
stuff.
Unfortunate.
All right. So, Alderman, thank you for being here. We will put all the important stuff and not the other stuff that we didn't, you know, that was, you know. You know what I mean? We got you covered here, Alderman.
Edit out the bad stuff.
Yes, that's what we'll do. But there was, but going up on podcast, the situation where next week Lori Lightfoot is going to make her speech, her budget speech, essentially is what it's going to be, and there was a little preview of at least what some of the problems are, and that she'll be addressing there. Is that fair? That's a fair way of saying
that? I think that's fair.
All right. Okay. Alderman, thank you very much.
Thanks, guys.
Right now, Chicago stories are told 24/7 on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users, just say play WGN radio on TuneIn. Kim Gordon's got the news at 4 o'clock. It's a Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN.
Yes.
WGN everywhere. And, of course, wherever you can find us on the World Wide Web. You have an app? Get the WGN app. It's really good.
That's a great way to do it. Very easy breezy.
And if you are just joining us now or you were here before and the White Sox were on and you went somewhere else, you can always find us on the web. You can always find us on the app when we're doing that. When the White Sox are on, we are still on the radio if it's between 3 and 7.
Yeah, as we were today.
Generally. It is said. Sometimes it's over at 6. There's a lot of confusion here. But we're endeavoring now to be on until 7. From 3 until 7 every day. Whether we're on the radio or we're on the web. And that's the most important part. Because you can always
find
what it is we're doing. It's very important stuff. Coming up on the program, Mark McKinnon is going to be here from the circus. It's coming back on Showtime. Inside the wildest political show on earth, which this certainly is, a lot to talk about. The president decided that he wants to go to war with Denmark. There was somebody, you know, it's funny. There was a story today about somebody joking about that in 2016. What, am I going to wake up and he's going to have nuked Denmark?
You're was right. It The Simpsons? I bet it was The Simpsons.
Did The Simpsons predict this?
They predict everything.
It was Ted Cruz. It was Ted Cruz who said it during the 2016 campaign.
As a joke.
Right.
Not like he really thought that this would happen.
Here you go.
I don't know anyone who would be comfortable with someone who behaves this way having his finger on the button. I mean, we're liable to wake up one morning and Donald, if he were president, would have nuked Denmark. That's not the temperament of a leader to keep this country safe.
Okay, now stop and think about that for a second. That's Ted Cruz. That's Ted Cruz, right? Who is now as it's as it was written in the story today about this, is now a lap dog for the president, right? You remember when you saw him? He wears his hunting jacket and he stands next to him all the time, talks about how, you know, how great it is.
Right.
It
speaks of his policies very fondly, promotes a lot of them himself.
Right?
And supporter.
The president started a fight with Denmark over something that Denmark can't even do. Denmark couldn't sell Greenland to us. Greenland is what we consider legally in the United States a protectorate of Denmark. As these kinds of things go, the Greenland people, the Greenlanders, the Greenlandians, I don't know what sounds right.
Greenlanders.
The Green. Thank you.
I don't know if that's correct, but that sounds right.
You're close enough as always. So the Greenlanders, they're self-sufficient and autonomous, except when it comes to their defense. So and I like where the president likes to make the point that, well, you know, this has come up before. Yeah. Yeah. In 1951, it came up, right? 70 years ago, it came up. He was 2 years old when they brought it up. It hasn't been brought up since. This has not been a discussion. This is only a discussion at the height of the Cold War about what are we going to do for missile defense. There's parts of the, because Greenland is technically attached. Greenland is technically North America. It's attached to North America. So they wanted it for NORAD, for the North American Radar Defense System, with Canada and us and Alaska. And after Alaska got purchased, right, because Alaska came in 1949 as a state, but it was already our territory. When there was talk of, well, maybe we will get even closer to Russia by going to Greenland because we'll get coverage on the eastern side of the North Pole. That was the only reason there was a conversation about that. That is not what the president is thinking right now. The president is not thinking about missile defense against the Russians. He's trying to get Russia to go back into the G7, which will become the G8 if they go back in. And he claimed in his little press conference today, not so much press conference, his availability while he was outside. He likes to go out on the lawn and talk to the guys before he gets on a helicopter going somewhere. Which no president has ever done before. He's getting credit for that. I mean, he doesn't have a press secretary anymore who goes out and has a press briefing. He just goes out and talks to the cameras himself.
Which is better.
And he wanders, I don't know who it's better for at the end of the day. It's great for the press.
I think it's great for the press. I think if you're talking directly to the source rather than the spokesperson, I think it's always better.
Right. But then he says things, he makes policy because he's that. At least with a spokesperson, when they say it, you go, well, it's not policy. That's a spokesperson. That's Spicer saying it. He's on Dancing with the Stars. What does he know? Instead, it's the president actually saying it, and he does a little performance, it's like a lion in the zoo. You know, he like moves back and forth, and he sort of paces back and forth in his enclosure in front of the press. And then he roars at some of the press, like he did today, and he roared at NBC, and then he roared at CNN. I mean, it's a wild presentation every day.
He mentioned today that he's made a lot of money for NBC through The Apprentice.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's fake news. If you were wondering if he's amping up the rhetoric against Denmark, the president is. In the last few hours, he tweeted again. For the record, Denmark is only 1.35% of GDP for NATO. They should be at 2%. They're wealthy. Kind of pay up sort of a couple of tweets in a row.
Now, he went after the Danish president.
Prime minister, right?
Whatever she is. Mm-hmm. In a way that was ridiculous. She said something actually very pleasant. She said, you know, it's a disappointment that they're not going to come. That the president's not coming over. And we look forward to having them, and we would like to do it again. And there's a lot of things that we can discuss. But this was a rather absurd thing because no one had briefed them that the president was going to try to buy Greenland.
And it sounds sort of absurd, doesn't it?
Right. So she said it was absurd, and then he got super mad at how absurd the actual use of the term absurd.
Denmark, I looked forward to going, but I thought that the prime minister's statement that it was absurd, it was an absurd idea, was nasty. I thought it was an inappropriate statement. All she had to do is say, no, we wouldn't be interested, but we can't treat the United States of America the way they treated us under President Obama. I thought it was a very not nice way of saying something. They could have told me no.
They did tell you no. She did. She did. And as a matter of fact, you tweeted that, that when she told you no, thank you for being so direct about that. But he's embarrassed because she called the notion absurd. Well, it is. And it has nothing to do with Obama. This has nothing. I mean, he's in that it's Obama's fault, Obama's fault, Obama's fault, because that he thinks that helps him in the nexus with Joe Biden. That's a good way of criticizing Joe Biden, is by bringing. That's why you're hearing Obama's name so much now.
You do.
But
he's saying it.
It has nothing to do with Obama, and it has nothing to do being snookered. You know, he said that that the reason that he wants to put Russia back into the G8, which is the top eight economies, running the world essentially, to put them back into that group is because they tricked Obama. You know, they made a fool out of Obama, and so he got him out of there. That is not what happened. They invaded Crimea, and by taking Crimea illegally, taking somebody else's autonomous land illegally, they got kicked out of the G8 by a vote of all the members of the G8. And so this idea that he wants them back in now has something to do with Obama is not great. And the only reason for us to take over Greenland, unless he wants to now start to take advantage of the mineral deposits that are being exposed by the global warming,
right,
which is happening in Greenland, which is Greenland is going to become mineral rich very quickly. And it's only got, a very small population. And they are going to be, coming into great mineral wealth because this stuff is all, uranium and other kinds of things are easily accessible that were not so easily accessible before underneath the ice sheets that no longer exist there or that don't currently exist there. So this is absolutely, without fear of equivocation, one of the stupidest fights I have ever seen a politician at any level, and that includes Chicago, Cook County, Cicero.
Are you sure you didn't include Cicero?
I include Cicero in this. This is one of the dumbest things I have ever seen a politician do. He's creating a fight with an ally.
Well, even the criticism, she didn't choose the right word, and her word was not nice.
Well, nasty.
Think about that for a second.
He called her nasty. Like, he does that all the time. With especially women. And it's like, oh, come on, dude. I mean, I just imagine how his campaign people look at that and go, oh, man. They're fighting an uphill battle with suburban women anyway, right? Many of whom stayed home because they didn't want to vote for Hillary, or some voted for him because they didn't want to vote for Hillary. And now they're like, what? They hear it. I mean, it is... It doesn't make any sense. She didn't do anything wrong. Denmark didn't do anything wrong. Norway didn't do anything wrong either. As a matter of fact, I shouldn't mention Norway right now.
No.
Because God forbid.
Ideas.
Right.
These are ideas. They go out in the ether and then don't know who hears them.
How about Norway? Or Iceland? How about Iceland? Oh, my God. What is he doing? I mean, it was like, it is a crazy time.
It is. I truly thought it was an Onion headline when I first heard it about Denmark.
Well, everybody on Capitol Hill did.
I had to read like 10 more articles just to make sure that actually really was being discussed. Like it was something that was honestly out there.
All right. So I got to go back.
Okay.
2 years ago, Ted Cruz, during the campaign, or 3 years ago, actually, during the campaign... 4 years ago. No, this would be 4 years ago, because this would have been 2015 into 16 during the run-up to the Republican. Remember, he was running for president, too. How'd that go for you?
Not so great.
So, he said this about Donald Trump then. Was he right?
I don't know anyone who would be comfortable with someone who behaves this way having his finger on the button. I mean, we're liable to wake up one morning and Donald, if he were president, would have nuked Denmark. That's not the temperament of a leader to keep this country safe.
I, I mean, I don't know how he chose Denmark of all the places.
I don't know.
But isn't that crazy?
Probably because it would seem like the last country you would do so with.
Exactly right, Anna DeFlantis.
And here we are today.
Kim, what's happening in the news at the bottom of the hour?
Student loan debt will be forgiven for some veterans. We'll explain coming up.
Get Real in the Morning with Larry Potash, Robin Baumgarten, Paul Conrad, and the entire WGN TV Morning News team, weekdays 4 a.m. to 10 a.m. on WGN TV. I will tell you, Ro, though, all the stories about Denmark, when you look at the pictures attached to it of this glorious place, it's now on my bucket list of places to go. I mean, I'm sorry, Greenland.
Yeah, I want to buy it now.
Can we all pool our money?
Let's pitch in.
Maybe the prime minister will listen to us. I just want to go there. I just think it'd just be an amazing place to visit.
Well, now, I think Anthony Bourdain did Greenland.
Did he?
Yeah, in one of those parts unknown.
Mm.
And it was interesting because it's a very small part of the entire island. It's like a continental-sized island that is inhabited, and it's seafaring folk, and also the mining industry is now getting in there in droves. You know what happened here? There was some guy. There's no question in my mind that he ran into somebody at his golf club, in either at Mar-a-Lago a couple weeks ago or at Bedminster over the weekend, and it was gone for a week because he just brought this up. That was somebody in the mining industry. It must be a member at Bedminster, who said to him, "Hey, listen, it's Greenland. We're starting to do. We got mining rights there. We're doing this. They've got all kinds. They actually have like gemstones and stuff that have just been exposed because, again, of this huge melt that they've had there of the ice cap. And they're just lying there, and they're picking them up." They just go on the ground. They go on the ground. They just pick them up and they put them in barrels and they take them out. I mean, it's crazy what is going on there. And I bet you he talked to somebody who's got some sort of business interest in that. And the guy somehow, some way got into his head that he could buy it, because in 1951 or 49, whatever year it was when Truman suggested it as part of a missile defense system, purchasing some land in Greenland, that this was going to be a good idea, right? That it was, hey, we could do that. We tried it before. We could do it again. Put it out there. And this was not the reason he was going to Greenland, by the way. He's now made it seem like he was going there, and now they told him no, and they called him a name by calling him absurd, and he's all mad about it. This trip had already been on the plans, and he's got another trip to Europe a couple days after that. He had to go to Greenland, then come back, and then go to Europe. And he doesn't like to travel a lot. It's a good opportunity for him to go, I'm getting out of this trip. She insulted me. I guess we're not going to buy it anyway. Not for sale. I didn't realize it wasn't for sale. I had no idea that Denmark had anything to do with Greenland. Just imagine the things that went into his head. Wait, I'm supposed to go to Greenland? I'm supposed to go to Denmark? And she said, what? This is not how this goes. All right. Coming up, Mark McKinnon's going to join us. There was trouble in the playpen, that part of Lake Michigan that we like to have fun with.
Classic Becca.
Brad and Becca got in trouble. Brad did something he shouldn't have done.
Again.
Yes. Wait till you hear this. This is a really great story. So that is coming up. And also, I don't know. I don't know how to break this news to Lauren. She's got a lot of duties on this program today because she's going to be playing. Sydney Friedman, the mentalist.
Yeah.
Is going to be here to play News or Ruse at 6 o'clock. And then
wouldn't he get all of the questions right?
Wouldn't he? We'll find out if he does. But he's going to mentalize Lauren.
Is she up
what
for
does
that
even mean?
Are you okay with that? Like try and hypnotize me?
No, it's like he's gonna read your mind or some crap like
good
that.
Good luck, sir.
I think he's met his match.
He's going to predict something that, right, I know. For
he
sure.
He doesn't know what he's getting into.
Oh, my God. What a mistake that will be on his part.
I love it.
Yeah. And then bad news about Spider-Man.
What?
Did he have a good run, or is he still around?
He might have just had a good run.
Uh-oh.
Apparently, the mouse does not want to deal with the spider.
Classic.
Well, that doesn't do me any good.
I saw that, and I go, Lauren's probably upset about this.
Yeah. That Disney is not going to produce Marvel Comics-related Spider-Man product.
What?
He's not moved. They had to have a share deal with Sony to do it, and because Sony owns half the rights to Spider-Man on top of the Marvel Universe. So when Disney bought the Marvel Universe, they only got half of Spider-Man, and they couldn't come up with a deal to produce Spider-Man, so they gave up on it. So Spider-Man will not be appearing in the MCU Disney films, whether it's group films or they're producing their own stuff.
I get it. They just don't have enough money to buy it.
Yeah, poor Disney.
Yeah.
Nothing ever goes right for them. Hey, I work for them. I'd like to say that's a wonderful company. An incredible management. And I love that mouse.
Just spend a little on Spider-Man. You're ruining it, man. You're ruining everything.
No, they didn't want to cut it 50-50 with Sony. That's what they wanted. And Sony won't do it. Richard Roper will explain that to us. If he doesn't explain it today, he'll explain it tomorrow.
Okay.
It's all coming your way. But first, let's check in now with Kim Gordon. She's got the news brought to you by AmericasBath.com. This is the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis on 720 WGN.
Love hearing that music.
Can mean only one thing.
Mm-hmm. I was on my Showtime app watching The Loudest Voice, the Roger Ailes documentary, and I saw the circus pop up, and I thought, yay, it's coming back.
It is indeed. And Mark McKinnon is one of the founding members of that team that put it together. He's one of the correspondents on it. Basically, what it does is it sends out these political, and Mark McKinnon was a guy who was a political operative. He was a guy who ran campaigns. He ran George W. Bush's campaign. He served with H.W., with George W., with regular Republicans over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Very regular Republicans. And he now he stares on the barrel of the irregular Republican. Or Republicans, as the case may be. He was on the McCain campaign.
Right.
Very dear friend of the McCain family.
And we remember this whole thing, the circus started. It was supposed to be, I think, like a one-season run in 2016, kind of leading up to the election. Mm-hmm. And it was so well-watched and viewed and critically acclaimed. People love the way it's put together. It just tells a great story of a week or a period of time in politics that it continues. And I can only imagine the content they'll have as we lead up to the next election.
I don't think anybody anticipated this.
No.
I think it's highly predictable that this will go on forever. Well, they're also very good because it's John Heilman, mm-hmm. who you see on, written a bunch of books and is a columnist and then also was at NBC, MSNBC. He's on they've had a few other people. And then one of the guys didn't work out quite as well.
No, there is a little talk about him right now. Isn't he writing a book or something? And several people participated in it who now wish they had not participated.
Yeah, Mark Halperin, who was John Heilman's writing partner. They wrote a bunch of stuff about the campaigns of Barack Obama and about the campaigns of. They're basically they were the dynamic duo of covering 21st century campaigns.
Mm-hmm. Right. He interviewed 75 Democratic strategists for that book, so he's got this book deal, and a lot of people participated and then later thought in retrospect maybe they shouldn't have Mark Halperin.
Mark Halperin did, yeah.
Including James Carville, David Axelrod, many, many others.
Right, and Mark Halperin was a guy who was at ABC News and some other places, and along the way, when the whole Me Too thing blew up pretty significantly in the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
He was one of the guys who went down as a result of the way that he was treating young female reporters and producers and other people sort of along the way that he was coming into contact with.
Right. A lot of people came forward and
right. Said he made them feel uncomfortable and it was inappropriate.
I think, yeah, they said more than that. But, you know, whatever. He's no longer on the circus for that reason. But he does have a book out.
So there's that.
And David Axelrod says he wished that he had not really participated. In hindsight, he probably wouldn't have done it had he thought through the whole thing.
Yeah. So we're having a little bit of, we're having a technical here. We're having a lot of technicals. This is the summer of the technical difficulty.
Classic technical difficulty.
As we're trying to connect here with Mark McKinnon. Not related in any way to the other Mark that we were just talking about. We were
right. Totally different.
Treading
person.
Water. We were throwing the basketball around. We were trying to burn down the clock. That's what we're trying to do. And now we've confused everything. And now we've given up our lead. That's what just happened.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you play prevent defense, Kevin.
That's right.
You prevent yourself from winning.
Well, we were talking about the guy who's no longer on the show.
Right. So there you have it.
The one who, the Me Too victims are saying they should pull his book deal. So that's not part of the show.
Would like to. How many victims does he have?
Well, it seems as if, there were political.
I guess we might as well just keep going down this rabbit hole.
Well, we're waiting. There's no connection to the Mark we're going to interview, of course. Mm-hmm. But it says that there were some political journalists and some campaign workers. There were a number of young women who came forward. And the allegations are pretty. They aren't just sort of, you made me feel uncomfortable. I think there's some physical nature. There's a physical nature to some of the allegations.
It's a toucher. When he was at ABC News, he used to have women sit next to him on the couch while they would interview him. Yeah,
that's right.
And they would,
And he was fired by NBC. He was a political analyst there. Remember, there was about a dozen women who made comments, but one woman said he attacked her, and she's the one who is coming forward to say, "I can't believe this book is out, and everybody's supporting him," and she kind of led the charge on this top political strategist book he's talking about. It's about how to beat Trump is the book, ultimately. And he, digs in with a lot of Democratic strategists about what do you do? What's your opinion about how you go about doing it? And 75 Democrats cooperated with him. So you got, and David Axelrod was the one of those who expressed some regret for participating in it.
All right.
In hindsight.
Okay. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a little time out, and then on the other side, I'm going to go in the control room, and I'm going to find out what the hell's going on in there. And there's going to be some people are going to have to answer some questions when I get in the control room.
Maybe taking the CBD gummies today is a bad thing for the show.
Kevin, do you have the CBD gummies? Who's got them?
I think they're in the producer booth. I did have one.
Oh, that explains something.
You should take one. It'll calm you down a little bit.
Did you take one?
Yeah.
How do you feel?
I feel about the same.
We sent Kevin out on when we were on the web show earlier. We sent him our guy who runs the greatest candy shop, magazine store, whatever you call these things anymore, convenience store down in our building.
Newspapers, newsstand.
Mm-hmm. Because he knows that Kevin's stoned on the CBD all the time. That
I think that's right.
He said I got to get Mr. Kevin. I got to get you to CBD, and he did. We got CBD and gummies today, and they brought them up, and we're going to see if we can get a body relaxation thing going.
I feel calm, it's no THC. You're not going to get high off it, but people take so there's gummies. They have a spray. They have like a lotion you can rub on. They have sort of an energy drink thing too. I don't know. Some people swear by it. I have buddies who they could never sleep, and they say it helps them sleep.
Right.
People say they deal with anxiety. It helps, but
all right.
Boy, he really stocked up just based on Kevin not able to find CBD.
He's our guy.
Product. He's like,
love
here
Mr.
you
Patel.
Go.
All
10
right.
options.
All right, wait. Now Mr. McKinnon is available to us. We'll just go straight to him right now. Out of the fear that we might lose him. I don't want to lose that.
Hi,
I don't want to lose you. Because it's been so long. I've missed you.
We have missed you.
All I want to ask you is one thing. Could you imagine the last week happening in your wildest fantasy about what was going to be happening in a Trump presidency?
Well, great to be with you again. The circus has never stopped, just keeps getting wilder and wilder. And as I've said before, if we'd pitched this show as fiction, they would have kicked us out. It just keeps getting crazier and crazier.
That'll never
happen. We're about to dial back in.
So you have cameras in place?
We're going to start with the next debate.
Okay.
Which is in a couple of weeks, and then we'll kind of roll through much of the fall, take a brief break over kind of Thanksgiving, Christmas, and then be up here.
So talk about that debate, because last I saw, 10 Democrats are qualifying for that. The 23 candidates running. Do you think we're going to see several more? Do you think we're going to start seeing a thinning of the herd here for the pack of Democrats?
Oh, there'll be a thinning for sure, and this debate will be a big part of that. I think we might get one or two more, which would be good, because if we get more than 10, then we'll get two nights, which I think would be good for them and good for us as the audience and for voters. So that's Tom Steyer, I think, is likely to get in, which would make it 11, and then there may be one other person on the bubble or two. So I think there's a good chance on September 12th and 13th we'll have two nights of debates. But yeah, if you don't make the debate stage in September, you're pretty well shot, because the debates, I say in presidential campaigns, there's three opportunities to really air message. One is when you announce the debates, and then three is if you get the nomination, and that's, you know, when you pick your vice president and have your nomination speech. But in the primaries, it's really when you announce in the debates. Other than that, it's pretty hard to make to ring that bell.
I wonder when. I can't wait for the inauguration of President Marianne Williamson in 2021.
By the way, I have said that the MCAT's got the Williamson beat. I want that theme with Marianne Williamson.
Yeah, I'll bet.
I will be doing Marianne Williamson.
Yeah, speaking of CBD oil, that is a
baby.
Yeah, that's something right there. That is that is some kind of kooky. All right, I don't think she made the debate stage though for September, right?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Yeah,
I don't think so either. But she's just another character in this fascinating roster of folks. And you know, listen, when you look, a big part of what happened in 2016 is that, you know, people woke up the day after the debate and said, "Hey, I could be president." Sure, Marianne Williamson was one of them, but why the hell not?
Yeah. Oh, no question. That's exactly what happened. It's exactly what happened. I mean, you've heard the Ted Cruz tape today, right? From 2016 when he talked about Donald Trump.
I have not. What did Ted say today?
Oh, he didn't say it today. This is from 2016. This has just been unearthed. Okay? And I want you to listen to this. And I just want to get your reaction as a very, very, very savvy political operative for many years. You've studied this, you've watched this, you've worked for these guys. And here's Ted Cruz. And again, this is in 2016 talking about Donald Trump.
I don't know anyone who would be comfortable with someone who behaves this way having his finger on the button. I mean, we're liable to wake up one morning and Donald, if he were president, would have nuked Denmark. That's not...
You're kidding me.
No.
You are kidding me.
No.
Oh, my God.
How about that?
That is good. Oh, my God. Well, I used to work with Cruz. Cruz was right down the hall when I was in the media. He was the research guy on the Bush operation. And it's amazing what foresight he had, huh?
Yeah. I mean, of all the countries, there are 162 countries that you can name.
Why would you pick Denmark?
Why Denmark? Why? And it turns out we're going to have to go to war with them now because she said something bad. The president just a few minutes ago also said it in a joking way that he should offer him should give himself the Medal of Honor. I don't know. Has he lost his mind? What is going on here?
Well, not only that, he said I'm the one too, right?
The chosen one.
Full of religious overtones. Yeah. That may be the biggest blowback of the presidency.
Well, this Israel thing, I think, is a. I don't think this is a road. I think he thinks he's got cover in this road because of Jared Kushner, but I don't think he does. He's going.
I don't think he understands that road at all.
No, no. And it's and
that's a really tricky road.
Yes, because the American Jewish population is split politically, and that when they talk about Israel, there's a difference between talking about the government of Israel. Right.
Yeah.
And whoever happens to be the prime minister and members of the Knesset and all that. Versus the idea of Israel. Those are two separate things.
Mm-hmm. Well, not only are they separate things, they're such deeply ingrained things. And for anyone that's just a third rail to anybody to try and use to their advantage politically. And when especially when you don't really understand the history or the language or the religion, which Trump obviously doesn't.
Right.
I'm just killing me that we're not on the air this week, but I say that every week.
You say that every week.
Yeah, well, I mean, who knew? I mean, this is the craziest thing in the world is like this whole week has just been, because it's August, this is when Shark Week started, on cable television. Uh-huh. You should point this out, that decades ago, August was always, you know, people were, this is the lowest ratings period for all of television.
Nothing's supposed to be happening.
Right, nothing, right. People are on vacation, Washington's on vacation, a lot of businesses are on, the, you know, Wall Street is slowing down. All that stuff happens in August, right?
Sure.
So what the cable, what Discovery Channel thought was, we're going to throw a bunch of shark shows on to get people to watch because it's summer and they'll watch it, and it works. So it went from shark attacks to now, and I guess he gets it as a television guy. He's got to do outrageous things in August, and he's doing them, and he's getting this attention. And I don't know if it's actually conscious or instinct, but it's happening.
I think a lot of it's just instinct, and he senses a slow moment, and I mean he was a very successful television producer, and that's how he's running his presidency. He's a dull moment. He's like, Greenland, let's buy it,
let's buy it, don't you?
Not even realizing that it's essentially a protectorate of Denmark, but then also not really realizing that Denmark can't sell it. Right? It's not even that they don't have the right to do that. It's the whole thing. It's like,
and then cancel a trip because he didn't like the way he's being talked to.
Right. And no one talks to the American president like that. I'm like, whoa, who started this? This is crazy.
He talks to everybody that way.
I mean, you cannot bully our allies like that. And then now he's quadrupling down right now because he just tweeted out about how they're not paying their NATO fair share. Which this has always been a misrepresentation of those numbers when he brings that up. But it's like crazy that he's going after them like, oh, come on. Come on. And in the meantime, he wants Putin to go back into the G8. I mean, it's.
Right,
it's crazy. It's crazy. All right. Well,
somebody should do a documentary series about this.
You know what they should really do? Somebody should get on the road with all the campaigns.
Right.
Every week.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And we're going back to our roots. That's how the show started. And, you know, I remember when we were covering 18 Republicans 4 years ago, and now it's going to be, 18 plus Democrats. So this is really what we're all about. That's our DNA as campaigns. So I'm excited to get back into it. We say that every election is sort of, existential, the most important of our lifetimes. I think in this election, for a lot of people, that really is.
No.
I think we're going to see.
Not for a lot of people. For everyone. For everyone, Mark. For everyone.
You.
For the United States of America.
Thank you.
Yes. The future of humanity.
I don't know what's going to happen, but we're going to have the largest turnout in history by far. It's just going to be. Everybody's going to be taking the barricades on both sides. It's going to be good stuff, and we'll be right there in the middle of it.
Who's heating up? Like, when you look at the pack right now, I mean, we keep hearing about Biden, and we know Kamala Harris was kind of softening a little bit, I guess, in recent polls. But what are you seeing?
I look at this like as a longtime guy who worked in campaigns, I look at it kind of like a track coach. I look at these candidates and look at who's developing, who's kind of who's gotten stronger. Who's getting smarter? And I'll just say right now, and this is obviously, at this time in 1996 or 1992, Bill Clinton had not even announced. Okay, he didn't announce till October of this year. So we got a lot to go, right? But I'll just say, from just a political, a guy who's worked with a lot of candidates, the candidate that I see who has improved the most is Elizabeth Warren. She has gotten smarter, she's gotten faster, she's gotten quicker, and here's the most important thing of all. She has got and is developing a clear, compelling narrative. And what I mean by that is, I just talk about storytelling is as powerful in politics as it is in culture and music and books and television, and great candidates get that. And Donald Trump, no matter how you come down on Donald Trump, he told a story, right? He identified a threat or an opportunity, make America great again.
Right.
He identified victims, middle-class Americans whose jobs are being taken care of. He identified villains, others, outsiders coming across our borders, changing our way of life. He identified a solution, build a wall, drain the swamp, tear up trade deals, reveal the hero, Donald Trump. I know what Donald Trump's story was. I have no idea what Hillary Clinton's was. So as I look at this field of candidates, I said, who's developing a narrative? Elizabeth Warren on the Democratic side, because think about it. It's counterintuitive a little bit, because I know that my Republican colleagues and Donald Trump and his campaign are salivating at the notion of running against her because she's so lefty and so progressive and way out there with all these ideas. But think about this. The the diagnosis that she has about the American electorate is exactly the same as Donald Trump's. The system is rigged, and you're getting screwed. She just has a different cause.
Yeah.
It's not the outsiders. It's the banks and the big pharma and the capitalists, and she has a different remedy, which is to tax the rich. And Donald Trump's was build a wall. Hers was spread out the wealth.
Yeah.
So I say that she just right now, we've got a long way to go and a lot more to happen, but she's getting stronger by the day. I also think it's good when a candidate kind of has a mishap, you know, takes a stumble like she did with the Pocahontas stuff and the DNA, and she recovers. That's, you know, that's a sign of a good candidate. So right now, today, I just say, you know, on the McKinnon list of candidates who is looking good, and beware what you get, Republicans. Elizabeth Warren's on fire right now.
Hmm. All right. There we go. Mark McKinnon, the circus is coming back in a couple of weeks. We will we'll have you on that week, of course, as your schedule permits. It's going to be you. It's it is going to be
Alex Wagner.
Is Alex Wagner
Alex
back?
Alex Wagner and John Heilemann.
All right.
Yeah. And in 2 weeks, I'll say a completely different candidate's on fire.
Yes, that's probably true.
We'll ask you.
Pete Buttigieg, edge. All right, thank you very much.
Appreciate it, Mark.
Thanks.
All right, thanks,
bye.
Guys. Kick it hard.
All
see
right,
you soon.
You too. All right, let's check in now with Kim. What's coming up in the news in a few minutes?
Roe, a Chicago icon, celebrates a milestone today.
All right, we have right here on the Roe Contra with Anna DeVlantis on 720 WGN Chicago. We have news with Kim Gordon. We had a little technical snafu, so we're a few minutes behind.
We'll
get to Kim's news here in 2 minutes, and then a top five at five you won't believe, and there's going to be trouble with Becca and Brad.
Again?
In the playpen, yep.
Do they ever learn?
They don't. Yeah, it's a Roe Contra with Anna DeVlantis. Mm-hmm. All right, let me just tell you a couple things coming up on the program before we get to the top five at five. He said very quickly. We have the very strange case of the pink water balloon attack on Chicago's lakefront. That's the headline that was blaring in the Tribune today.
Water balloon attack.
Pink water balloon
pink.
Attack. And it turns out that our own Becca and Brad were behind this.
Of course they were.
Oh, Becca.
I would say that it may have been a pink balloon, but it was White Claw that had this whole thing happen. I'll explain that.
Yeah, I didn't see that story, so I'm interested to know.
Yeah, wait to hear about that. And then we've got our mentalist friend, Sidney Friedman, the musical mentalist. He's coming in to play News or Ruse. Sidney also would like to mentalize our own Lauren Lapka.
Did Lauren sign up for this? Did you even ask her?
I did not.
I'm up for the challenge.
Okay.
Yeah. This, I'm going to say this because this happened off the air just a few minutes ago. Anna just said to me as we were talking about, you know, we had a little huddle during the commercial break.
And what's coming up?
Going, right? And she goes, Lauren's going to eat this guy alive.
I did.
I was going to say, this is going to end with Lauren like attacking this guy, or he's going to be like, I'm done with this. What did you get me into, Ro?
Talk about your spider monkey moment. This is what we're gonna. This is what we're gonna have. It's gonna be a spider monkey moment.
I just want to say I'm not responsible if he leaves here not knowing who he is.
Very possible.
All right, here we go. We got to get ready for the top five, and so shall we start?
It's the top five on the Roe Con Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, three, two, one.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Roe Con Show with Anna DeVlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
All right, checking in at
number five.
All right, so Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has been silent since President Trump doubled down on his comments, claiming that Jews who voted for Democrats were being disloyal. And Netanyahu's got some internal problems in Israel. He's up for re-election, and in there it's a parliamentary system, so there's been a revote. Remember in the spring there was a vote, and his government won just barely, and now it's that coalition's fallen apart, so they're voting again. And he's got to be very, very careful. He's enduring a lot of criticism for being too close. in Israel for being too close to Donald Trump, which is one of the great ironies of all of this. Well, anyway, the president decided to, I would say in this particular case, triple down today at the White House.
Yet I will tell you this, in my opinion, the Democrats have gone very far away from Israel. I cannot understand how they can do that. They don't want to fund Israel. They want to take away foreign aid to Israel. They want to do a lot of bad things to Israel. In my opinion, you vote for a Democrat, you're being very disloyal to Jewish people, and you're being very disloyal to Israel. And only weak people would say anything other than that. I think that if you vote for a Democrat, you're very, very disloyal to Israel and to the Jewish people.
And only weak people would disagree with that. Well, I think we had Mark McKinnon on just a little bit ago, the political analyst and used to be a political right. fixer who is on the circuses, the Showtime's the circus.
Mm-hmm.
He said that this is a third rail in a lot of ways in the Jewish community in America to Israel as a third rail. And it's very, and because Israel isn't, people are not in lockstep about the Israeli government. You find in the American Jewish community, you find that people are in lockstep about the concept of Israel, that Israel is mm-hmm. an important thing, that is as a concept, as a notion, as a place, as a Jewish state, it is important. But the internal politics, the conservative versus the liberal politics, I mean, remember, there was an Israeli prime minister in the 1990s was assassinated because he was too liberal. Right? And there have been the liberal versus conservative politics have been a great internal strife inside Israel in a lot of ways, right? They're surrounded by a lot of nations and states and peoples around them that would like to see them destroyed. So that creates a lot of internal pressure. However, having said all of that, for the president to try to use this to his own political gain is not going to set well, is my guess, with the American Jewish community. Even those who may be partisan to him. I don't think it's going to play as well as he thinks it's going to play.
He's trying to take that, it's an error, but I think he's making that political move where Tlaib and Omar and their comments, which have been viewed by many as anti-Semitic, he's trying to paint the broad brush across the Democratic Party that if you vote for a Democrat, then you believe what they believe, these two congresswomen.
Right.
It seems a bit of a leap.
There's an entire strain of American, first of all, 75% of Jewish voters in 2016 voted for Hillary. So it's an uphill battle anyway.
Sure.
But secondly, the American Jewish community is not lockstep in anything. There are a lot of people in that community. There are a lot of synagogues and congregations around the country that do support loosening up restrictions on Palestinians and would like to see a more open mm-hmm. state and would like to see a two-state solution in there. I mean, there is disagreement on that, and that they wouldn't necessarily be in lockstep with Tlaib and Omar on some things, but in terms of changing the dynamics there, they might be. But then again, then it's just there's a lot there, and I think the president may have stepped a little over where he thinks he was going to be. But that's not really, really the biggest problem. The biggest problem is now we have to go to war with Greenland because he doesn't like what the prime minister of Denmark, who somehow is in the middle of this, said about selling Greenland.
President Truman said, what about Greenland? And he talked about it very openly, and it was a big deal at the time. And I brought it up again, and it was discussed many other times. And I thought it was not a nice statement the way she blew me off, because she's blowing off the United States. And we've done a lot for Denmark. We've done a lot. I know Denmark well. I have many friends from Denmark. I have many people from Denmark that live in the United States, and we treat countries with respect. She shouldn't treat the United States that way by saying, what an absurd, she said, absurd. That's not the right word to use, absurd.
First of all, that's not even the word. It's absurd.
Absurd.
It's like he's doing it like a French pronunciation of it. It is très absurd what she says. What are you doing? That's not who you are. Anyway, this is okay. A couple things to unpack there.
Real lot.
One, the Truman thing that he's bringing up. It was not a big deal at the time. I went back, I looked this up, because I wanted to figure out exactly what they're talking about, because I don't remember this in my history books. And you know why you don't remember in your history books? It was not a big deal. It was brought up during the Truman administration. This is right before Hawaii and Alaska came into the United States as states. They were territories. And there was talk because we wanted to set up missile defense systems to augment what we were doing in Canada and the northern tiers of the United States to stop what were now intercontinental ballistic missile capabilities that were being developed in Russia. That's what that was about. And so they wanted to set up, and so Greenland is on the North Pole as well, and so we wanted some territory from them, and there was a conversation. It was not buying Greenland out, and there was never a moment where Truman stood in front of the American people and said, you know what we got to do? You know what we got to do is we got to buy Greenland. That's my Truman impression. I dare you to find out if it's right or wrong. Anyway, that was never the thing. Now, so A, B, he's mad because she called it absurd. Because it is absurd. Drop it, dude. Well, he's a counterpuncher. I love his defenders. Oh, well, he's a counterpuncher. He threw the first punch. There's no reason for him to counterpunch when she goes, hey, we would have loved to have had him here. This is what she said. We'd have loved to have had him here. It would have been nice for him to be here. Sorry it didn't work out. Hopefully we'll see him again. We can't sell him Greenland. That's what she said. And now he's making the whole trip, which was never about buying Greenland. So he's making that whole part up. And he's punching her in the face by calling her nasty. What is that all about?
Well, he's talking about her words. Or using the wrong words.
Do we have that cut? Do we have that? Do we have anything else, or are we done with him? Just asking. All right, here's one more.
Denmark, I looked forward to going, but I thought that the Prime Minister's statement that it was absurd, it was an absurd idea, was nasty. I thought it was an inappropriate statement. All she had to do is say, no, we wouldn't be interested, but we can't treat the United States of America the way they treated us under President Obama. I thought it was a very not nice way of saying something. They could have told me no.
How did they treat us under Obama? Do you remember that whole time when we said, you know what we got to do? We got to go invade Denmark during the Obama administration. Did the word Denmark ever come up in your mind during the Obama administration? What is he talking about? What were they doing? When has Denmark ever been a problem? Denmark sent troops to fight with us after September 11th. They lost a couple dozen people. They're in Syria with us. They're an ally. They're a NATO ally. Stop that. They're an important NATO ally because of Greenland.
Can we buy Greenland?
Absurd.
Okay.
Tays absurd. Shut up. I am going to have a stroke. I'm not going to make it to November of 2020.
No, it's heating. Things are just heating up.
Try the CBD, Ro.
Yeah, you didn't do the CBD.
Could you bring the CBD in here?
Okay.
I'll do the CBD now.
They're now available here in the building. As Kevin found out.
Yeah.
Mr. Patel, shout out.
All right, we're going to have to continue the top 5 after the news at the bottom of the hour.
Okay.
Sorry. Just has to be done that way.
Yeah.
And then we will tell the story of the pink balloon attack on the lakefront. All that is coming your way. But first, Kim, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour news?
Another Illinois congressman formally endorses impeachment of the president.
Be sure to check out the CB app or hit up Facebook and tell Chicago's Best TV where you like to eat. Watch Chicago's Best Sundays at 10 p.m. on WGN-TV. Your pick just might be Chicago's Best.
All right. Kim Gordon standing by with the WGN News, and we're going to get to the rest of the top 5 at 5. And there was violence on the lakefront. A pink balloon attack. A water balloon. Pink water balloon attack in the playpen. one of Chicago's most ridiculous pieces of real estate.
Known for a lot of ridiculousness.
Yes. If you would like to see privileged stupidity, the playpen is the place for it.
So true.
It's every weekend. For a boat, actually. Privileged stupidity, because that's what it is. Every weekend and night, that's these boats all tie themselves up together right off of the Ohio Street beach, and oh my God.
There's a lot of boat hopping.
Yes.
A lot of imbibing.
Lots of hats to the back.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of White Claw. Lots of dudes calling each other dude.
Or bro.
Right.
Dude bros.
A lot of girls laughing at absolutely nothing.
Well, who owns the boat? I like him.
Which one's the captain?
And there's a lot of people not paying for the gasoline. And that's the thing. When they get back, I lost all my money in the water. All right, we'll get to all of that. Don't anybody move, but first, Kim's News 2. All right.
Are we still in the middle of the top five?
Yes,
five?
We are. As a matter of fact, we've only worked our way up to
number four.
Tom Bergeron. You know, the longtime host of Dancing with the Stars? You know him?
We know him.
Game show guy, Yogi himself, stands on one finger.
Good for him. Mm-hmm. No wonder he's in such terrific shape.
Mm-hmm. He's upset. By the way, it's season 28 of Dancing with the Stars.
Cheap. 28. It doesn't really go by the years,
Would
right?
never have guessed that.
Right.
But it's a 28th still a lot of them.
Installation of them. But that means it's been at least 14 years that things have been on the air, because they do two a year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. I really gave up thinking about it a long time ago.
It's fun to watch.
So Sean Spicer is going to be on it.
Very controversial pick, according to the social media.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're just using that word stars very vaguely, huh?
So Bergeron, not happy about it.
The nice thing is Sean will be in charge of assessing audience size throughout the entire.
Wait, we hear your mother-in-law is quite the dancer, yes?
Yes, she is.
But you are not.
No,
You have a middle school story?
Yeah, I was kicked out of band in sixth grade, and the quote was, "You have the sense of beat of a steamroller."
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
Scarred
me. That would be fun to watch. So watch out,
Mr. Mara. I'm coming for you.
What's your strategy?
Work really, 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 really hard every day.
Yeah.
He's good at tap dancing. Yeah. We've seen that in action.
That's for sure.
I don't peg him to be much of a dancer.
No.
At all.
I'm going to guess he's a week one out.
Yeah.
Right?
Like Geraldo. Remember him? Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Horrible dancer.
I think he's going to be out in the first one because he can't even, MAGA country can't even save him here. Because they're not interested in him anymore. Because isn't he still on Fox News? Maybe?
I don't know.
I know he had a contract with Fox News when he left. So if he's still on that, maybe we'll see. But I think if he can't dance, he can't dance. And I would ask who the rest of the people are on that show, but I don't care.
Number three.
And I will always love you.
That's Dolly Parton's version of "I Will Always Love You" because she wrote that song.
I love that song. I love it when she sings it.
Mm. Now. Turns out she's revealing for the first time that she actually turned down Elvis Presley in 1974. She's revealed in a new documentary for the BBC that when Elvis was going to record his cover of Dolly's hit, "I Will Always Love You," but only if she were to give up the rights to her song, and she wouldn't do it.
Elvis already had it worked up, and he loved the song. In fact, Priscilla had told me not very long ago that when she and Elvis were leaving the courthouse after they divorced, he was singing that to her, walking out, "I Always Love You." So she said he did love it. But it wasn't about Elvis. Colonel Tom wanted to have the publishing on that song, and I wouldn't allow it because it was my most important copyright. I'd already had a number one song myself. It broke my heart. Because Elvis didn't get to sing it, but I had to hold on to it. And so I've just kind of been protective of my songs like you are your children.
Oh, yeah.
That makes sense.
And then who was that? Whitney Houston. Now, who is she? She did it too, didn't she?
She did.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, did she.
I think Dolly Parton was fine. I think Dolly Parton has blank you money for the rest of her life just on that. I mean, on every, think of all the things that she has done, but just on that song title alone and what that did.
Well, they're switching the CMA awards up this year. You know, it's how it's always Paisley and Underwood. And this year it's Dolly Parton and Underwood and Reba to celebrate women in country music. The brand's out. Paisley's not part of it as a host.
Well, I, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to bury my red solo cup in my backyard now. I just like to thank God for all for this award. That is, it's like the Essence Awards, the Vibe Awards, and the Country Music Awards. Yep. It's like God's a producer.
It's a drinking game.
Yeah.
If you want it to be.
Yeah. Not in the Hollywood, though. No, 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 no. Not the Golden Globes or the Oscars or the Emmys. No. Oh, man. What a world. Checking in at
number two.
Well, The Simpsons, even though they're now, the Simpsons series could actually apply for Medicare now. It's so old. It's still of the times. They have come up with a song that takes on the president's taking on of the squad. Listen to this.
So many problems, tariffs. I need a distraction. They shouldn't be in America. No one but me in America. No taxes for me in America. This is my natural Herica.
We're more American than your wife.
She's not a big presence in my life.
Your love life makes us heave.
You two will never see Tel Aviv.
Your grease and your pump with emoluments.
It's okay with God, says my pants.
Clever.
Wow. That's up to the week right there.
It totally is.
How
do they
do
watch
that?
It too.
Oh, well, they use slave labor to do the animation. That's how they do it. All right, and finally.
Number one.
Oh, wow. Sister Jean Dolores Schmidt celebrated her 100th birthday with a unique gift. Her very own look-alike Lego statue. The beloved longtime chaplain of Loyola University's men's basketball team was gifted with a 2.5-foot figure that took more than 10,000 plastic bricks to build and 30 hours to create. She has been busy celebrating her milestone birthday all month.
Whole month. I've never celebrated a month before, but you don't get to be 100. And only once. That's just like being Cinderella, only once. I eat well. I sleep well, and hopefully I pray well. I think all those things are important. You know, we have to learn to take care of yourself. We teach young men and women that here. You have to take care of yourself, because if you don't, you're not going to be any good to take care of anybody else.
There you go.
Wow.
There she is, Sister
Just
Jean.
Love her.
Wow. And see, now that's a nice way to end this whole
It is.
Stupidity
She's
that goes on here in the world. But we're returning to the stupidity to talk about an incident, a legal incident that occurred in the playpen. Don't anybody move.
The top five at five.
All right. The Chicago Sun-Times, Mitch Dudek today, writes, oddest police report of the year. Strange case of the pink water balloon attack on Chicago's lakefront. Now, last week, we were telling you the story about the playpen. If you've not been downtown and spent a lot of time downtown or never seen this, like on a weekend, if you're driving down Lakeshore Drive and you come just over the river, yeah, heading north, you notice on the right-hand side, once you pass Navy Pier, there's a bay there. It used to be called the bathtub. Now they call it the playpen. It's always been an area where their boaters come in, and now over the last decade or so, it's a bunch of boaters come in and they tie up on a Saturday or a Sunday. And then they just have a gigantic boat island party out there and with young ladies and men just jumping from boat to boat.
It's like a big party. And people jump from boat to boat to drink and hang out, and then they jump in the water, and it's just, I mean, you know, on a nice day, you could see several hundred people out there on boats.
It's a law enforcement nightmare out there, actually, is what
totally
it is, because they don't have enough.
How do you police that?
You know, because and people fall off, and then there's a call for service, and there's all kinds of, it's a mess. And then, you know, when you're counting the noses on the boat when you go back home, mm-hmm. You know, when everybody, all right, when it's over, the sun's setting, and they're going, all right, we're going to tie off here. We're going right. to, you know.
We got everybody. Yeah, where's your buddy?
Yeah. And then they find out they're always missing one, and they don't know where that person is. And should they leave without that person? And it's a big debate. And did they get on another boat? They get a better offer, whatever it was.
Uh-huh. Better offer.
He's got a bigger boat. It's gone that
way. Yeah, we're over here now.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just nothing but, and then on any given Saturday night, into a Sunday morning, it's just cans of White Claw that are washing up on the Ohio Street beach.
And backward hats from the frat bros.
Exactly. The M on it. I'm not even sure what the M is anymore. Anyway, so here's what happened. There was a Chicago police filed a report. A person called 911 to say that they were on a boat in the playpen.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had been...
Something that police love to hear, right? As soon as you get the 911 call from the boat in the playpen, it's like, okay, you take this one.
The crime accused, battery, and the weapon, a pink water balloon. According to the narrative in the Chicago police report, and the water projectile tossed from one boat to another smacked a 54-year-old Chicago man in the chest.
Ouch.
An argument ensued. Chicago Police Marine Unit responding, but the man could not identify the hurler and refused medical attention. At which point, a 21-year-old man, resident Northbrook, who was also nearby, told police that he did it, stating that he launched water balloons at said vessel, believing the girls on the bow appeared to encourage said act.
Becca told me to.
How do you encourage that? So what do you do to say?
How do you encourage that?
Do it. We dare you.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
I can see that playing out.
I can see that going on. Okay. All right. I guess it was welcome attention, it seemed like. But he just hit the wrong people.
He stated he launched water balloons at said vessel, believing the girls on the bow appeared to encourage said act.
He's believing that they encouraged him.
Stand-up guy admitting to it.
Yeah.
But where was he to get hit? That's what I'm wondering.
So during the interview, the victim apparently changed his mind and called for medical assistance, at which time Chicago Fire, boat 688, removed the victim from the vessel and brought him to the north side of Navy Pier, where a CFD ambulance met them.
Oh, no.
At which time the victim once again refused medical attention. Reached later at home by police, the man said he didn't want anyone arrested.
It's a water balloon.
Responding officer responded to the call of two vessels arguing over a water balloon incident. Upon arrival, responding officer spoke with the listed victim, who stated he was hit with a water balloon by occupant on a vessel. Victim could not positively identify who exactly launched the balloon that struck him in the chest. Responding officers asked the victim if he needed medical attention, which time he stated no. Responding officers located over to offender vessel. Responding officers spoke with listed offender, who stated he launched water balloons at said vessel, believing the girls on the bow appeared to encourage said act. During which the interview, this victim apparently changed his mind and called for medical assistance, at which time CFD boat 688 removed. I'm reading now directly from the police report.
Wait, so he changed his mind and he did need medical attention?
Yes.
Then
Chicago Fire responds, and boat 688 from the vessel brought him over to the north side of the North Navy Pier. CFD ambulance meets them there. Victim once again refuses medical attention. Responding officer calls victim at home for a follow-up, and the victim stated he did not want anyone arrested. He was advised a report was made and stated he would seek it on his own if needed.
Oh, I just feel for the police having to deal with this.
Did they list what kind of injury? just right, extreme
kind of medical
shame.
Treatment? Yeah. Here's an ice pack, buddy. Get over it.
The victim was 52 years old and hit in the chest. You know, he could have had could have had a massive heart attack right there. If Becca had not encouraged this. I think that we should arrest Becca is what should happen here. I think she's the one responsible.
Classic Becca, such a troublemaker.
Right. Go do it. Do it. Hit him.
Can you imagine interviewing the witnesses there?
Oh, God.
And the state of mind that most of the people in at that moment.
So as I was shotgunning a White Claw, I saw the pink balloon floating over the water and going directly towards that man's chest. You want a White Claw, officer? Lime or raspberry?
You're cute.
You're cute.
Do you have a girlfriend?
Oh, gosh.
Oh, God.
Totally overheard in the playpen.
Mm-hmm. You know, it'd really be cool if you put the hat to the back. You'd look super hot.
Is this your boat?
All right. All right. Yeah. We wish everybody the best of luck. The news with Kim Gordon for the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom comes your way in 2 little minutes.
And now, the Rokan Show presents News or Ruse, a true game of true wit and skill. And now, here's your master of ceremonies, Rokan.
Thank you, Mr. Duffy.
You okay?
Nope.
You gonna make it?
I took the CBD gummies that we bought in the building here today, and I don't know how I feel about anything.
You just never know.
Yeah. All right. Now, we have our old friend, Sydney Friedman, who's the musical mentalist, in the studio with us.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to play News or Ruse, which I think is a real test of your mentalisms to be able to play this.
Yeah, your mentalist
ability. You should know
ability.
The answer to all of these things as a mentalist.
If you don't get a perfect score, Sydney, I don't know. I'm not sure what we think of you.
Well, who wrote the fake ones? That's Jeff, right?
I'm not telling you who wrote anything. Right. That's giving you too much information.
Oh, okay.
I don't want any.
No, but
too much. TMI, as the kids like to say.
Can't right. cheat.
No, your producer, though, wrote the fake ones.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there's a team of people writing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this will be a test.
Wait a minute.
It's a real
you
test.
Know, usually
I have one for you right now. I'd like to read you, and you tell me if this was news or ruse. We're going to just practice,
well,
okay?
Just so I from previous appearances here, mm-hmm. I do this on tells.
Mm-hmm, sure.
Where I look at the person mm-hmm. and I can sense, but if the person who wrote it isn't here, it's going to be hard. But yeah. I will right. accept the challenge.
So let me give you a news or ruse here.
Not an excuse. I'll just accept the challenge. Okay, go ahead.
President lashes out, cancels Denmark trip, and calls PM very nasty after being told buying Greenland would be absurd.
That is news.
That
Good
is
job.
News. Yeah.
Well done.
See, now,
on every news channel right now.
Right. That's a headline right now that a week ago, if we'd put that in news or ruse, what would you have said?
Well, no, that's very possible with our current president. So,
oh, yeah. You would have gone with news?
Yeah,
all right.
Right, right.
Okay, that's very intuitive of you. All right, so here's what we're playing for. We've got a $75 gift certificate to Green Tea Home Services for all your home service needs, including garage door maintenance, air duct purification systems, carpet cleaning. Call 800-5-GREEN-TEA or go to greenteaservices.com. And a $25 Lou Malnati's gift certificate, Lou Malnati's Home of Chicago's Best Deep Dish Pizza, one of the 40-plus Chicagoland locations. Order online at loumalnati's.com. Everyone gets that, right? So everybody gets the $25. The winner gets the $75 from Green Tea Home Services. But listen to this.
Mm-hmm.
Sydney is throwing in for everybody 2 tickets to his show tomorrow night. It's actually a Conversations with Weigel, with our friend Jennifer Weigel.
Yeah.
Does this from time to time at the Wilmette Theater tomorrow night at 7 p.m. It's going to be a sit-down conversation with the two of you, and then you do your performance.
Exactly.
Yep. How about that?
Yes.
So we're giving
That's
away
nice
six,
of you.
Six pair here, because 3 and 3, right?
Yeah.
So that we can do that? Is that all right? Because I just gave you the number. That's
sure.
all right. Fine.
Sure.
Look at it. Look at him. He's like, look at the tell. He's like, I don't know. Oh, my God. I don't know.
The theater will be mad at me, but no. We can do it. We have some
good
enough.
All right.
Yeah, good.
And that, well, what's that ticket going for right now? Do you know?
$180. No, $30 a piece.
$30. So look at this.
Hey,
look at this.
Yeah, it's quite the prize package.
This is a nice prize package right there. The winner's going to get $130 worth of stuff.
There you go.
I almost said a bad word. Don't say a bad word.
No.
That's tomorrow night to see the musical mentalist along with Jennifer Weigel at the beautiful Wilmette Theater.
Yes.
Right on Central, isn't that where
it's? Central. And if you want to buy tickets, wilmettheater.com.
All right.
Yes.
There you go. Yeah, that's right. You can also, is your website also sydneyfriedman.com?
Sure, sydneyfriedman.com.
Sure, send people there. Because then they mentalize when they get there. All right, we got Chris playing with Kim, Bill playing with Lauren, and Joe playing with Sydney. Here we go. This is where it all gets very exciting. Chris and Kim, here is your headline. Here is your headline. German city offers $1.1 million to whoever proves it doesn't exist.
Actually, I have a gut feeling about that.
I know, it's not
news.
Your turn. Sydney.
Oh, I know.
I'll say news.
Yeah, let's go news.
Go news. All right. Yeah. Chris,
just for the record.
I like news. I think that's good.
I don't want a for the record for you.
Sydney, you're only allowed to answer
your headlines. This is not your game show, Sydney. All right, it is in fact news. There you go.
You got it. Good, well done. Okay, Bill and Lauren, here's your headline. After waiting 50 years to open Time Capsule, New Hampshire residents found there was nothing in it. I could see that being news. What do you think,
first
Bill?
First of all, Lauren, I have such a crush on you.
Thank you.
I would say that is news. What do you think?
I'm with you, Bill.
All right.
You two make such a sweet couple. All right, hold on one second here. Let's get to Joe and Sydney. Now you get to choose,
right.
Sydney. Now you get to weigh in.
It's your
ready?
Turn.
All right.
Okay.
Florida man sentenced to time served at community service for selling high school students oregano masquerading as pot.
Oh, that sounds like news, but I don't know what Sydney thinks. He's reading Jeff's vibes, I know.
Mm-hmm. Where's Jeff? Jeff's behind
he's
the glass.
He's in there,
right?
Looking behind
right.
the glass.
Yeah.
He's laughing. Yeah, he's shaking his head. He's like, you can't read
thought?
Me.
That's not news.
You're going to go with not news?
Not news. All right. Not news? I'll go with Sydney.
All right. Wait, no. That is
you
correct.
Got it.
He got it right.
He got it right.
Sydney
guys
smelled that out.
That's what I thought.
I can tell you that was absolutely designed by Jeff to try to get you, because that's a story that personally, you know,
it seems like
I've lived. Yeah. So it's, you know, that's how it goes.
I've seen you live it.
Yes. All right. Here we go. Chris and Kim, here is your headline.
Here's the headline. Man believes his tan is the reason why he was refused a mortgage.
Oh, that's ridiculous. But it could be news.
You said tan? Like
his tan. Like, you know, you get a nice tan in the summer.
I'll say news.
Yeah, let's go news.
That's correct.
Yes.
So far, no one has got one wrong yet. Except I hit the button wrong. But that's my problem.
Everybody's a mentalist.
Bill and Lauren, here's your headline. Missouri first responders urge residents not to set flood-damaged homes on fire.
After living there, I can also see that being news. I don't know, Bill, what do you think?
That feels like news. I would see where they would need to put that out there, yes.
Now, I would imagine that would be a headline in Joplin, Missouri. I'd imagine you would have been covering that.
I could definitely see it. Yeah. We head out to Lauren Lapka for more on the Missouri first responders. All right, let's do, we've got Joe and Sydney Friedman, the mentalist. Here's your headline.
All right.
Man arrested while attempting to fix flat tires with gauze and Band-Aids.
That just sounds too stupid to be true.
Sydney, what do you think?
I've seen worse.
Look at my eyes, Jeff. Look at my eyes.
Looking for a tell. This is not fair to go to the writers. And he did not necessarily write all of these. But okay, go ahead.
He was attempting to fix a flat tire with gauze and Band-Aid.
That's
and he
right.
got arrested.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Well,
apparently.
Yeah.
That's exactly what happened. Yeah. No, that's what
I think
happened.
That's fake.
All right. Joe, you're going to take the lead on this. We'll go with you. What?
It's news. It no, it's
that
real
news.
Story.
Yeah, it really happened.
Right. He was under the influence of drugs, by the way.
What?
Yes.
That gives drugs a bad name.
Well, totally. That wasn't in there.
No, that wasn't.
He was taking that oregano.
I swear to God, I paid for pot. All right. All right. Hold on a second, everybody. We'll come right back. News and Ruse continue. Sydney Friedman is here. Sydney Friedman is going to be tomorrow night at the Wilmette Theater with Jennifer Weigel. And they aired its Conversations with Weigel. She does that from time to time. We'll met. And she'll sit down. We'll talk about your career. She's all about that woo-woo stuff anyway. So you two are made for each other. And then you'll do a performance.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes.
Huh? And you're going to try to mentalize our own Lauren Lapka coming up after the news at the bottom of the hour.
Right here in studio.
Right.
Good luck.
We'll have a whole thing right. I see blood in the streets.
Oh, no.
Is what I see. But that's all right. All right. Here we go. Let's check in with Kim. What's coming up in the news at the bottom of the hour?
Chicago police officers will soon see what's on security cameras from their phone.
All right, we continue with News or Ruse. Sydney Friedman is here. He's our celebrity, really is one. Musical mentalist.
Yes.
Soon be at the Wilmette Theater tomorrow night with Jen Weigel. If you want tickets, go to the Wilmette Theater's WilmetteTheater.com or you go to SydneyFriedman.com for tickets to that. And all the players today in News or Ruse are getting tickets to go see Sydney tomorrow night with Jen Weigel. That is going to be one hell of a show.
Yes, it will be.
It's going to be the
a lot of fun.
Turning over the seats there. And coming up after News or Ruse, Sydney is going to mentalize. I'm not even sure what the term is, but I think that's it.
What is the term?
I love that term. Let's use it.
Okay.
All right. We mentalize Lauren Lapkin. We're going to see what's going to go on there.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell you something right now, Sydney. You're going to leave here crying. Now, you and your partner, Joe, have got to get this right to stay in the game. Are you ready?
Okay.
All right, Joe, you there? You good? You good to go?
I'm here.
All right, here we go. Orion Samuelson.
Toronto man found guilty of impaired operations of a canoe in precedent-setting case.
I always listen to the radio, and it always sounds easier.
I know. I played this game once. It sucks when you're actually having fun. Toronto man found guilty of impaired operation of a canoe in precedent-setting case. All right, Sydney, help your partner out.
It's true.
You're going true? All right.
Was he on drugs?
He said true.
I would say true.
All right. You guys are right. Yes.
You got it.
You stay alive. All right, here we go. Chris and Kim, here's your headline.
Australian wild pig drinks 18 beers, then gets in a fight with a cow.
It sounds kind of stupid, doesn't it?
I know, but you know what? It could be news.
I'll go with you.
Which bar was he at?
I gotta say, that is one of my favorite headlines of all time.
Totally.
It says here, because when you read the story, it's a feral pig ransacked a campsite, drank at least 18 cans of beer before then getting into an altercation with a cow.
He was at the Godfrey rooftop.
Those things can happen there.
All right. Well, I'm sorry, Sydney. That knocks you out. But I will say this, you can redeem yourself by trying to mentalize Lauren. We'll see what happens.
I wasn't voting on that. That wasn't mine, was it?
No, but
you only got two right. They got three.
Yes. Oh, so here we go. So Bill and Lauren, here you go for the tie. Here is your headline.
All right.
Bear bursts through the wall like the Kool-Aid man to escape Colorado home.
I've seen some crazy things in Colorado. I think that's news.
Okay, let's go with news.
That's correct. All right, we go to the lightning round.
All right.
Here we go. Chris and Kim, here's your headline. Turkmenistan's leader does donuts next to flaming crater to prove he's not dead.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure that's news.
Okay.
Way to call it out. All right. No hesitation.
Lauren.
Bill and Lauren, undercover cops posing as drug buyers arrested by undercover cops posing as drug dealers. What? Undercover cops posing as drug buyers arrested by undercover cops posing as drug dealers.
I would 100% go news if they said in Florida. But since they didn't, I have to think. Lauren, what do you think?
I only want to say ruse because that would be very embarrassing of two departments to not be aware of these things.
All right. News or ruse?
Ruse.
Shouldn't have listened to me.
God. That's so sad. All right.
I still have a crush on you, Lauren.
How sweet is that? You were a great teammate, Bill. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right,
if you have a crush on her, wait till you hear what happens when she gets mentalized. You're going to see. You're going to find out. You're going to hear the real Lauren Lapka coming out right then and there. Maybe it's great. I don't know. All I know is that Sydney's going to do something here, and it's going to get. We're going to find out if Lauren's really just a complete softy inside, or she wants to kill him. And we'll have to see. I just hope you have security. You carry security with you at all times. So.
Three goons.
Well, he'd be able to see that she was going to kill you. So right,
that's true. She's like Arya Stark. That's what we decided.
Totally.
She's like you just didn't see it coming. The next thing you know, the Night King's dead. All right, here we go. Just reminding, the winner's got a $75 gift certificate to Green Tea Home Services and a $25 Lou Malnati's gift card to everybody. And everybody gets tickets to Sidney Friedman's show tomorrow night with Jennifer Weigel, Conversations with Weigel, monthly live interviews, celebrities, and difference makers with TV host Jennifer Weigel. WilmetTheater.com for tickets. All right, let's check in with Kim Gordon in the WGN newsroom in 2 minutes. Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. All right.
The
Musical mentalist is here, Sidney Friedman. You just heard him play News or Ruse. It's not really his fault that he didn't win News or Ruse. He would have won News or Ruse, I think, but his contestant decided to go a different way.
He was very good at reading the mind of our producer, Jeff, and he's a hard guy to read the mind of.
Right.
Just looking through the glass there, trying to decode.
Tomorrow night he's going to be at the Wilmette Theater, wilmettetheater.com, along with Jennifer Weigel. Conversations with Weigel. It's actually her monthly series, and he's going to be interviewed and then doing a performance of his mentalisms. Now, we want you to mentalize. We have found in Lauren Lapka, the newest member of our staff, that she is one of the tougher Kasabas to crack, if you know what I mean. She's willful, I think is the way that I'm sure that they said that about you in high school.
Strong will.
Sure.
Yeah. Willful. Yes. and very precise about knowledge and things. That's like good. Knowing stuff, right?
Right.
Good qualities for a traffic
report. She does not like mendacity, and she does not like things that are wrong. All right. So that's where we are. Okay. Now, we need you to try to see if you can mentalize her or whatever it is that you do.
All right. Well, we'll try a couple different things.
All right.
Okay.
And I love being put up to the challenge.
Mm-hmm. Good luck on this.
So, Lauren,
I'm going to step into the other
room.
Good luck. Just in case anything flies. All right. Go ahead.
All right. Lauren, look in my eyes for just a second. Just keep looking.
Okay.
And look and keep looking. For those of you at home, we're looking directly at each other. I'm now going to write something down.
Okay.
And I'm writing on a pad of paper here, and I'm putting the pencil down, and I'm putting the pad of paper down as well. Lauren, call out any number from 1 to 100. Just shout out that number.
22.
Did that just pop into your head, or is that something that's like a lucky number for you, or what?
Both.
Both. Look what happened. What number is
it? No way.
Oh. It's 22.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Who told him my birthday?
No.
Nobody. That's okay.
All right.
So okay.
Well, that's just nothing. That's
so
just
what?
That's just a warm up. We'll do something else
okay.
for you.
All right.
Let's see.
She just gave me a dirty
I
look.
I did.
Why did you give me a dirty look?
Because she thinks you're behind it.
You
right. usually are.
But most people don't think of their birthday. They think of all kinds. They could have thought of anything. Let's try something. I wasn't going to do this, but we'll do since you seem to be very skeptical.
I'm a huge
right.
skeptic.
I'm going to take out this pack of cards here, and I'm going to show you the difference.
Cards, yeah.
And it's not a card trick, but we're going to use cards. And I'll show you why in a moment. There's a big difference between, a major difference between what I do as a mentalist, someone who uses the intuitive skill, and what a magician would do, which is sleight of hand. And a magician would have you choose a card from a deck, and he'd be holding them. And even though it would seem like it's a free choice, because he's holding the cards, he could force a card on you. You would have no idea he's doing that if he's good. Or it would be a free choice. But when you return it to the deck, a great magician could shuffle it in a way that he can get the card to a certain position where he could learn its identity. We will eliminate all possibility of sleight of hand or magic tricks. I will hand you the cards, and I will not touch them at all from this point forward.
Stand your microphone.
Okay?
That's what I need
right.
you to mentalize. You put your headphones on so you can mentalize yourself.
All right. I'm going to turn away.
Okay, turn away. All right.
And
here we go.
What I want you to do, Lauren, is to look through the cards and find one that you like. Do it rather quickly, but find one that you like and memorize it. Burn it in your memory, and then hold that one card up against your heart. And then put the rest of the cards down on the table.
I don't know if I have one, but we'll go right
side?
Where
you're
it
on
is.
The wrong side.
You got
Lauren?
One? You got one card.
Okay.
Are you holding it against your heart?
Yes.
Okay, good. And the other cards are aside. I'm actually going to move over and we're going to both talk into the same microphone, okay?
Okay.
Actually, put that one card between both hands like this. Like a sandwich, and I'm holding my hands together. So one hand is on top. Make sure your fingers are closed. If they're spread apart, I might be able to see what it is.
All right. There we go.
I like how she's making sure you
right
don't
my
see
eyes
it, bro.
Here. Look here and think of the card. Just focus on it. Concentrate on it.
He's doing that thing. He's doing like that where he's putting his hands in front of her face.
Right.
Red indicates the future. If you're thinking of the future, you're planning something for the future, you're going to be thinking of red. If you've been thinking of the past and trying to figure that out, that's black. You've been thinking of something that you're planning for ahead, so it's going to be a red card. It's a red card. Also, diamonds indicate money. Hearts indicate love. There's something going on with a relationship right now, so it's going to be a heart. Is it a heart?
Maybe.
Yes, it is. It is.
Is it?
Right. And you are a perfectionist. So it's going to be a perfect 10. It's going to be the 10 of hearts. Is it the 10
Get
hearts?
Out.
Yes!
No way. It totally is.
And this is test conditions, folks. I haven't touched the cards. I haven't talked to her ahead of time. You won't say anything like this anywhere else.
Well, how did that happen?
Let's see the deck. Is the deck all 10 of hearts? No.
They're all different.
No, it's not.
Like Marshall Brodeen, every other one is
right,
a 10
exactly.
of hearts.
TV magic cards. No. Remember that?
Yeah, I remember those that. I had those. I totally had those.
Yeah. This is a seemingly perfectly normal deck. I don't see anything different.
You are good.
And
anything.
A perfectly normal traffic reporter.
Uh-huh.
Well, okay. All right. Okay. All right. 10 of hearts. Wow. All right, okay. All right, she's looking at me like I did something bad.
No,
like,
that one I can't explain.
No, how would you possibly?
All right. Okay. Yeah. Now she put him away and she ran away from the deck. She's totally freaked out.
No, now right. I got my face forward instead of my back to the cards and I'm not going to move it. Because that's
are we done with
that's
deck?
Freaky. That's really freaky.
You're done. Are you done? Are you totally done?
We can do more.
Yeah, let's do another one.
Let's
do
more.
Yeah.
Let's do
with all three of you.
We're all freaked out.
All three of us.
Yeah, I prove
like
you're
this.
Not in on it.
I've been on here a few times before, so you know what we can do. Let's see.
Have you ever mentalized Roe?
We have.
Yeah,
we
you mentalized me on television once, and I didn't like it either.
I can see. You don't like it.
I don't think the audience liked it. Right,
I got a message inside as a sealed envelope here with a gold seal.
Okay.
It has a gold seal.
Okay.
It must be
gold seal. All right.
And let's see. We have three people in the room here. There's Lauren, there's Anna, and there's Ro. Uh-huh. So, Lauren, I'm going to call on you first. Anna, you're going to be second, and Ro, you'll be third.
Okay. Right.
And there's a message inside. Each of you look in my eyes. Look here, Lauren. You'll be the first person I call on.
Okay.
And Anna, you're going to be the second person. Look here in my eyes. Actually, pull your glasses off for just
okay.
a second.
You got to see the eyes.
That's
very important.
That's okay. That's interesting. Okay, and then over here, Ro. Perfect. Okay. I'm going to write something down on the back here.
All right. He's writing something on the back.
Throw the pencil away.
Back is writing.
I'll leave this right here. I won't touch it. Call out any number from 1 to 100, but not the 22. Any other number from 1 to 100.
84.
That's Lauren's number is 84. And Anna, any number from
42.
42. Very good. And any number, Ro, from
6.
6. Very good. He went very low on that. The number I actually wrote down was a 44. Is that clearly a 44?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So who was closest?
I was.
Anna, you were the second person I called on, and you said which one? 42?
42.
Open that up. I'll hand it
Oh, my gosh. This is going to freak me out. I can tell already. You've got to open up this envelope.
She
There's
said
something
42.
In there that's kind of weird.
Pull out the contents.
I predict the second person will be closest to the target number. They will be off by exactly 2. What?
There you go.
Anna, read that, Lauren. I'm not making it up.
I believe that. News, not ruse.
I hope you pick that willingly. I am not part of this act. I have not. I'm just here. I'm just like you. Very freaky.
You
Sydney,
keep it. Souvenir.
You totally freaked me out with that.
You'll
oh
see
gosh.
All this live in person
good.
Tomorrow night if you come to the show.
All right, I'm sick.
Does anybody ever faint when you come up with these things? Like, you just freak people
we
out.
We have paramedics on staff. Ready to come.
You know, you're really lucky that she didn't just swing on you. I just want to say that. She
I'm
does.
A little too stunned to move.
Yeah.
Because I'm the person that will ruin shows. Because I'm like, no, don't, no,
right.
you can't trick me.
I see
you can't trick
that
me.
That is not my key on that key ring.
Exactly. But I can't, because I'm all about honesty. I'm not going to lie. I have no clue how that happened.
Me neither. You're good, Sydney.
Thank you.
Very, very good.
Thank you.
All right. We'll get an answer. We'll get our answers.
I want you to be mentalized, Ro. I think that'd be fascinating.
Oh, my God. Well, I get mentalized quite a bit, and it doesn't seem to be working.
I want you to pick a card.
And by the way, those who come to the show each get a free book. I didn't mention that. It's called How to Read Minds for Real. So in addition to the show, you get a...
Oh.
Book how called How to Read Minds for Real. I'll send it to you guys, too.
Oh, very interesting. Yeah. All right, Sydney Friedman, sydneyfriedman.com. You can see him tomorrow night in Wilmette at the beautiful Wilmette Theater on Central in Wilmette.
It's a great theater.
Conversations with Weigel. It's Jennifer Weigel. It's a monthly live interview series that she does with celebrities and difference makers. And she also will be allowing Sydney not only just to sit around and talk, but you should mentalize her because there's a lot going on there. Just to tell you that right now. But then you'll see this. You'll be doing this with the audience and all the rest of it.
So fun to watch. It really is.
And then every once in a while, he breaks into song.
Oh,
we even break into song, too.
Huh.
Just in case.
Well, I do... people think of tunes, song melodies, mm-hmm. and I sense what they are, and then I play them on the piano.
Oh, gosh, that's wild.
Right.
Oh, it freaks the crap out of me.
Yeah.
All right, Sydney, thanks very much for being with us. As
thanks
always,
for having
it's
me
very
on.
Great.
Ro, thank you.
We will check in now with, David Jennings, what's going on in the newsroom at the top of the hour.
And Gary, an interesting surprise for students at an elementary school, a gun.
It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis
mm-hmm.
on 720 WGN. All right, now we took the CBD gummies because we were on the World Wide Web. And when we do the show, we start the show before we're on the radio.
Right. While the White Sox are on the air, we're on the stream, we're on the app.
Right.
Other places.
And on the CLTV, as
the
it turns
CLTV.
Out. We decided we were going to... I waited till we're after CLTV to take the legally purchased in our little... magazine store, cigarette mm-hmm. store, whatever
right.
you want to call it.
Little convenience mart,
news,
mini mart.
Newspaper place. Downstairs, here at 303 East Wacker, Mr. Patel, the greatest, by far, without question, the greatest purveyor of Pringles and soft drinks and whatever it is you
He's
need.
Just a nice guy. He remembers everybody's name and he tries to like please what you know if you get you know get what you want in terms of your candy. And it turns out if you have a special request about things that he doesn't stock, he'll stock it for you.
Unbelievable, this guy. Unbelievable. So he stocked CBD oil because a couple of months ago we sent Kevin out to look for CBD oil when people started telling me, like, what is the deal here? We thought we'd do a little, but you know, medical investigation.
We thought it'd be easy. We'd be like, just Kevin, go get it. And he couldn't find it.
What do you mean? I brought it back.
Yeah, but we had
to
go on for an hour.
Yeah, I know. I brought it back.
But it was like an hour. But you had to go. Remember how many places you had to go to?
Yes.
Yes. It didn't really
so
work
many.
Out. But now,
Wait.
Here, it's right here. And so here we have. So we took the gummies, and I don't feel a thing.
I don't either.
It doesn't do anything. Don't tell Mr. Patel, because he just invested in all of that.
I mean, it's going to fly off the shelves. Because
yeah, we should tell everybody it's great. You should take this during work. It really helps you focus.
I feel like a totally new man. I feel great. Go to Mr. Patel's shop and buy all the CBD.
Yeah, you have to. He's got it in 7 different forms or something. He's like the largest distributor now, I think, in the 60. This is zip code.
It's really kind of bad. We almost ruined his business model here.
He's doing so well with the candy and the lottery and the
He's got 16
snacks.
Different flavors of Pringles.
He does.
Nobody else has 16 different flavors of Pringles in their
yeah,
store.
Yeah, no, that's true. His chip rack is huge.
You know, if I were the Pringles guys, you know what I would do?
Huh.
Now that the stoner generation is upon us,
mm-hmm.
and at January 1, you know, the full THC stuff is going to be available in Illinois.
Recreationally? It's not coming.
Because Pringles can do anything with the chip, right? The chip comes out individually, then gets stacked. It's
mm-hmm.
not like, you know, like the potato chip company where it's just a bunch of stuff that gets shaken around. You don't know what they're going to come out like. These things, they're individually pressed. They should do some kind of, like, hippy-dippy colors on them. You know, like paisley chips and like.
Right.
Just make them like.
Psychedelic.
Psychedelic. I think that would
I
be.
I thought you were going to say lace them with CBD oil. Dip them
that's
all
coming.
CBD.
That's coming. Actually, they should be
but
fried.
Isn't
in CBD
oil the stuff that's not supposed to get you buzzed?
Right.
There's
okay.
no THC, but people say there are benefits of it.
I mean,
yeah,
I don't know
about different
are
reasons.
Yet. I don't know what's
Some
going
people
on.
Say it's great for pain. Others say relaxation, anxiety. I don't know. So
okay,
I don't
then,
feel
then,
a thing.
Then here's the next one. You guys have got, when they finally start up, you guys have got to get some THC infused cookies or brownies after
yeah.
the first hour. After yeah. the first hour.
Yeah.
And then we see what you're like by now.
I'm sure that the executives at Nexstar are really going to enjoy that. That's really going to go over well.
Yeah.
Guys,
I
already had to explain. You know how many times I had to explain things to the Tribune guys? And we know them.
We do.
Right?
We're local.
Oh, my God. I don't know how I'm going to explain to the guy. I'm going to have to fly down to Dallas and explain. I've had to do this before.
Uh-huh.
I had to fly to Atlanta once and explain myself.
What?
And a number
thinking?
Of times to New York. Well, sir, it wasn't really my plan. All right, hold on. We're going to check in with Justin Kaufman. He's here right after. All right, JK has just stepped into the studio.
Hi, Justin Kaufman.
Good to see you.
Nice to see you. Do you ever try the CBDs? Do you ever, do the gummies?
I have not. So I'll just see what happens to you guys and go from there.
Nothing is. I took it like 2 hours ago.
Nothing's happened. Although we have a texter who tells us that it's cumulative, the CBD. Yeah. So dose isn't going to have an impact. You got to keep doing it.
Yeah, I would just go for another
dose. I just take the whole bag, bro. Just see what happens. We'll do that tomorrow.
David Jennings is in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. I just forgot to mention that. And maybe it's the CBDs. I don't know.
See, that's what happens. You didn't read the fine print. What happens with the CBDs is you just forget to read things. You forget the throws to the newscast.
Yeah.
It's on the back of the package.
I tried the real stuff a couple weeks ago in the California IA, and it was something.
Now, when
still getting over it.
Was it already pre-delivered, or did you go into a store?
To a store.
And like I said, it's not the old style of like buzz you in.
No,
like,
bunch of bongs everywhere.
Yeah, it's not that kind of style.
There was like a case. It's like an Apple store. It's like going into like a high tech.
Right.
Everybody's got an iPad. They're explaining everything to you.
The bud tender comes over. That's what we were talking about on the Mincing Rascals about John Williams podcast about bringing there might be a marijuana store that would be on Michigan Avenue in the old Apple store.
Yep.
And I'm like, it's not going to be the old style of small windows with bars on them, and you get buzzed in. And
it's not a head shop.
Yeah, it's not a head shop. I mean, it's going to be very. It's going to be very 21st century.
So. And it was all rich people in there.
Yeah,
it was so.
In the one you went to,
thing. Yeah.
Well, how many different types did they have on display when you walked in?
Dozens, hundreds. I don't know. I mean, because they had it in all different forms of things. You could eat it.
Do they have pot sommeliers? Really?
Yes. Bud tenders. Yes.
Yeah, they called them bud tenders. Okay.
Yep. It's like a warehouse.
It's a whole thing. And then there's a glass wall. Behind the glass wall is the actual live bud itself. You know, like the if you want the plant form. Right.
And if you look in past that, there's the room with no windows and the people with no clothes on, and they're sorting the bud. They don't do that.
Oh, come on. Which one did you go to?
It was Sicario. Soledad de la Devello.
They don't do that over there?
Yeah.
Different store. Different, I was in Washington State. You were in California. They do it differently.
Totally different.
It's going to be, the California model is what they're going to be doing here.
Yeah.
And so it's really kind of interesting. I just did it just to make sure I understood exactly. It was for news purposes only.
Yeah, for research.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yep, that's what I did. Yeah. All right, I got to go.
What do you have coming up on the show? Can you tell us first, Justin?
Coming up, we're going to talk about early education. So there's this has been a big push in the state of Illinois to sort of go for a universal pre-K and to go beyond getting kids ready for preschool, but getting kids ready between birth and 3 years old. And there is a pilot program happening in Morton Grove, Skokie, and Evanston, where they're trying this concept of essentially starting early education at birth. And this is something that they've been doing, and they have a grant from the Illinois State Board of Education. We're going to talk about it tonight and really get into it. So
that was my problem.
Yeah,
you didn't start early enough.
Yeah, that I didn't start at birth.
that was your problem. That continues to be. Your
I
problem.
Also didn't start in first grade, and I didn't really apply myself in high school. These are all the things I know.
That'll catch up on you.
Right. The next generation of talk show hosts will be will be ready to go by 12.
Can you imagine?
Right. First time I started talking when I was 12. Right, yeah. Right, it never stopped.
There you go. All right. Have a great night, guys.
Thanks, Justin.
Chicago Stories told 24/7 on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. The news sponsored by Gilkey Window Company. Here's David Jennings.